The shiur today is really to explain the last memra in the Mishnayos and last memra in the Mishnayos in Yuma. Okay, the memra of Rabbi Akiva, the last Mishnah in Yuma. It says the famous Rabbi Akiva. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Shreichem Yisrael. Lifnei mi atem matarim. Mi mitar eschem avichem shebashamayim. Shenema. Zarakti aleichem mayim tahorim utahartem mikoltum oisechem. Pasuk in Yecheskel. Va'omer. Another pasuk. Mikve Yisrael ad Hashem. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Ma mikvo mitaris atmeim af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaris Yisrael. Okay. So on the surface, this Mishnah is paradoxical. I mean, we don't understand what does the Mishnah mean. Of course, lifnei mi atem mitarim, it's lifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. I mean, there's no question. I mean, what's Rabbi Akiva adding? We know that the only one we turn to is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the only one that can machaper of on is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. No human being, no one else, no malach, no one else. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atmo. So what's the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva? Ashrechem Yisrael lefnei mi atem mitarim. It seems, I mean, it's a davar poshut. Maybe no reason for the statement. Okay. They ask, many ask the question already. Okay, I'd like to, this year today, I'd like to, the purpose of this year is to explain this memory. Okay. Now, just let me go back and review something that we said. You saw that we said years ago in Hilchas Tshuva, which I think is the most important yisod on the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva that we ever spoke about. And that is, what did the Rambam really accomplish in Hilchas Tshuva? What did the Rambam accomplish in Hilchas Tshuva? The Ramban says that without the Rambam we wouldn't have any understanding of Tshuva. The Rambam really opened up the whole concept of Tshuva. What did the Rambam do? What was so amazing about the way the Rambam presented Hilchas Tshuva? What was unique and genius about his presentation? Yeah, of course, every detail in Tshuva and in Ziva Sachet and all the other things in the Pratin and what exactly is a Tshuva Gemura, is a Tshuva Sheina Gemura, and all the details. Of course, we all appreciate the Chachma and the details of the Tshuva. But there's something much more that the Rambam did in Hilchas Tshuva, much more than just give the details of Ziva Sachet. Others also spoke about that. The Rambam did in Hilchas Tshuva was, he states right in the beginning of the Koseres. He says, Mitzvah say achas, v'hu sheyoshuv achote mecheto lefnei Hashem v'yisvada. That's what these prakim are all about. But then he says, u'bir mitzvah zu, v'ikorim hanigrorim imo b'glolo b'prakim elo. There is a chiddush. The chiddush of the Rambam is all these things that he incorporated in the 10 prakim of Hilchas Tshuva, which on the surface would seem to have nothing to do with Tshuva. For instance, the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva formulates what is Chai Olam Habo. What do you have to know what Chai Olam Habo is in order to do Tshuva? Okay? They say, in order to get to Olam Habo, fine, I mean, with the but that's not Hilchas Tshuva. There's a lot of things. A mitzvah is every mitzvah is in order to get to Olam Haba. So every mitzvah should have Olam Haba. You think on a conscious thing, that should be in Hilchas Yisrael Torah. No, the Rambam formulated in Hilchas Tshuva. The Bechira Chofshis, that's what the Rambam means by Ikorim Hanigrorim Imo and Biglola. Imo he means, like for instance, Bechira Chofshis. Okay, Bechira Chofshis. that free choice, that a person is not bound by any forces, and a person has a free will, he has bechira, he's able to change his life completely, and there's no one that intervenes with this. Even the Rabbi Neshul Elam, even God himself doesn't intervene, except on certain exceptional, rare cases where a person is such a rush out of Ram that he forfeits his Bechir. But generally, God doesn't intervene with a person's Bechir Chavshus. That's a klal, it's a Yesod, and the Ram, it's a Yesod Ados. It's a Yesod Ados. Okay. And that's why the whole story of Bilam, really, with Bilam's donkey, and that whole Sipur HaMaisa is based on this Yesod. That's why he had that incident with the donkey, was because God did not intervene with his free will to say what he wanted to say, and the situation had to be brought about that he wouldn't do it. You see? Okay. So at any rate, that's the side one. At any rate, that's a yesod. That's a yesod. That's an ikur. That's nigrar ima. The concept of bechira chavshus. But biglala, he means, like, for instance, the institution of olam haba. Okay, that's not ima, because that's separate. But it's biglala. Okay. So the Rambam maintained is, and this is the yesod of his whole Hilchos Teshuvah, and what is unique about his Hilchos Teshuvah is that the Rambam maintained that if you don't know these ikkarim, you really can't do tshuva. Person doesn't know what Olam Haba is, he can't do tshuva. Why not? Person did a ma'aseh avera, did something wrong, and now he feels bad about it, so he repents. So why do they have to know the Yisroelus of Olam Haba? What's the answer? The answer is because the way the Rambam formulated tshuva right in the very beginning, he said, the first two words in Vidui is Ona Hashem. Ona Hashem. I spoke about that another time, but the whole essence of tshuva is Kiruv LaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Ona Hashem. That's why the correct girsa in the Oshamnus, if you take a look in your Siddur, it'll say, sometimes has ona in parenthesis, and elokeinu v'elokei avosenu. It seems to me from the Rambam that the correct girsa is both. Has to be both. Because it's ona Hashem. Ona Hashem, chatosi, avisi, pashati, ufanecho, asisi, kach, v'kach. So the vidu has to be, ona elokeinu, we can't say Hashem, we can't godly say Hashem. So we say, oh no, lekeinu v'lekei v'seinu, Hashem nu b'gad nu gazam v'bari dofi. That, according to the Rambam, has to be the correct girsa. As a matter of fact, I just checked out this morning, and I found the girsa of the Teimani girsa, which is, where the Teimanim are usually most reliable. The Teimani girsa is that way. Oh no, lekeinu v'lekei v'seinu. That's the right girsa. Both. What happened in Asadurim is probably there was Ono and then there was Aleph Vav Aleph. Somebody thought it was either or. That's all we can't look at a center. But it's really both. The real Gersh is both. Okay. So really what the Rambam is saying is that if a person doesn't have the idea, of all the Korim Ikarim HaNigrorim Imo and Biglala, if a person doesn't have that yediyah, then he can't live the tshuva. For instance, the Rambam says, the Rambam, when he speaks about tshuva and Perek Ches, he speaks about Olam Haba and the ultimate reward that a person receives for mitzvos. And he says, Shema teka al beinecha tovazu v'tidma she'ein schar mitzvos v'ayos ha'odom sholem b'darkei ha'emes elo liyoso ochel, that's Ramperk chesel ha'chavav, liyoso ochel v'shoso macholos tovos u'boel tziros nos v'lo vesh bigdei sheish rikmo v'shochein bo l'shem u'mishtame yor l'shem u'mishtamesh b'klei kesev v'zov u'dvorem adomim l'elu. In other words, what the values of this society, basically, He says, "Kemo shem adamim elo haravoyim hatipshim haavilim hashtufim bezima." He says, "A person that thinks that the purpose of human life is for all the luxuries that he can enjoy in this world." Avala, he says, this is the way of the fools. He says, "Avala chachomim ubalei deya yedu shekol advarim elo divrei havoy." That all these things are nonsense, the hevel, empty. Vein b'hem toelas. They don't benefit man in any way. Vein atov gedola etzlenu b'olam hazeh l'mneishanu b'alei guf u'gvia. It's only a necessity in order for a person to exist in this existence. Tzorchei haguf. And the soul is unaffected by them completely. Doesn't desire them. Has no enjoyment or benefit out of them. He says... So he says, and when there is no guf, then all these things are bottled. And the only good, of course, is the good that affects the inner part of man, the soul. And that is the part that enjoys the olam haba. So what does Ram mean? Ram means if a person doesn't have that idea clear in his mind, what is he missing? He did a particular chait, and he's a shav, but what's he missing? The Onah Hashem. Onah Hashem is missing. Because in order to have the Onah Hashem, a person must know all the ideas of the good. What is the real good? All the ideas of what the good is. What is Bechira Chashis? What the way man is constructed? He has to understand it deeply. I mean, the Rambam went too deep in one place. He went so far, the Rabbi criticized him. He says he shouldn't have gone that far to the question of Bechir. But apparently the Rambam held... Ram stopped at that point. He held that this is what he has to know. He must know this. Even the Kasha he must know. He must know the Kasha, know the answer, even though he doesn't understand the answer. That's also the idea. So the Rambam Shita was that Tshuva, basically where the Rambam opened up a whole new idea of Tshuva, and he said that Tshuva is based on tremendous idea. That's what the Rambam did. So the Ramban says, without the Rambam, we wouldn't know what tshuva is really. The Rambam opened up the whole concept. Tshuva is based on knowledge of philosophical principles. If you're lacking that knowledge, then you're lacking in tshuva, and you're lacking in the Onah Hashem. Yep. That's what the Rambam explains in these prakim. And that's why the Rav one time mentioned that Rav Chaim used to go over. In the 10 days of tshuva, every day you do one of the prakim in the Rambam. Why do you do it? Every mitzvah you have to learn. Why is it different? Because Rav Chaim understood that what the Rambam was saying in Hilchas Tshuva is that if you don't know these ikarim, you can't do tshuva. You can't. And the ikarim are deep. Ikarim hanigrorim imo biglola. So if you don't understand the ikarim, you can't do tshuva. It's not like another mitzvah. Other mitzvah, Shemir Shabbos, a person does not know all of Hilchos Shabbos to be Shemir Shabbos. But in order to do tshuva, it's necessary to understand on a deep level all the concepts and the yesodos and the karim in order to be a shav el Hashem. He has to even know what is Torah Lishma. What is Torah Lishma? Rambam in the 10th pair. What's Torah Lishma? What's it got to do with tshuva? Rambam even says that most people can't even attain that level. Even Chachamim, he says, only a small amount of Chachamim are able to reach that level. Yeah, but you have to know, you have to understand what is Torah Lishma. If you don't understand it, then the Onah Hashem is lacking. The Onah Hashem is lacking. That's really what the Rambam, that was the Rambam's Chiddush in Tshuva. And that one line in the Koseres, he's explaining it, you see. Okay. We'll come back to this. We spoke about this once before, but I think it's something that's worthwhile repeating because it's the whole Yisod and Tshuva, and we'll come back to this also. Okay, now what I'd like to do is take something else. The Tfilos Musaf for Rosh Hashanah. Okay. In the Tfilos Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, Tfilos Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, you have like this. You have, as the Rav explained, you have an introduction to every the three central brachos, Malchios, Achronos, and Shofros. So you have a format. First, you have a little introduction. Then you have the psukim, the verses from the Torah, the verses from the Tehillim, and then from the Vayim. And then you conclude with the Torah. But when, now, that's the second component of the arrangement in each one. And the third component is tefillah. After you have the psukim, so first you have a little introductory paragraph, basic idea. Then you have the psukim. Then you have the Torah where the Tanakh shows these ideas. Okay, the psukim and Torah. And then you have a tefillah. You pray to God. Okay. And every one, the tefillah, like Anshek Nesagdala arranged, is very straightforward and self-understood. I mean, it's not complicated. Beautiful Lashon. That's why, by the way, Sadi Ibn Ezra was against the piyutim, because he says you don't find tefillahs that are not simple and clear and beautiful. Okay. And they're all easily understood. Malchus is easily understood. The tefillah Malchus, Malocha Kolam Kulachoy Decho, V'yede Kol Pol Tov Yalto, V'yem Kol Yotzak Keter Yitzato, all straightforward. Zichronos also is quite simple to understand. Zachreinu V'zikaron Tov L'fanecho, Ufotein V'kudus Yeshua, Rach L'shnei Shmei Kedem, Scholar Zabris, V'sa Chesed, V'sa Shua, all V'kayim Olo Odo Shiftach Tonu, V'zachat Lembris Rishonim. Okay, fine. So, or should I say something? Okay, so that's simple, straight, and then the last one is Shofros, Malchus Achronos, and then you have the Shofros. Shofros is already difficult. The tefillah is difficult to understand. Okay? Even though the lashon is clear and simple, but the way the bracha sets itself up is difficult. Because you say it like this. Elokeinu v'lekei aveinu, tekah b'shofar gadol l'cheresenu. V'sones l'kabetz galu yaseinu, v'korev pizurenu ben agoyim, avim tzinu chaburino, shangiz v'doshcho, b'sum chasolam. Fine. Okay, that's nice. So you're asking for Gilu Shechina. Shofros is Gilu Shechina, as everyone knows. Shofros means revelation. It's revelation. Okay. But then you add, Ki ata shomea kol shofar mazin truma vein domalach. Now this says, what connection does the first half of the tefillah, the first half of the prayer have with the second one? I mean, Kiyata Shemeh Kol Shofar Mazin Truma. Shofar is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. I mean, what does it have to do? What does it have to do with Kiyata Shemeh Kol Shofar? God hears the sound of the shofar. God is omniscient. He hears everything. He knows everything that takes place, every event. So what is this Kiyata Shemeh Kol Shofar Mazin Truma in Nemalach? Okay. Baruch Atah Hashem Shemeh Kol Truma Samei Sol Rachman. So the Rav one time said that you see from this that shofar is halacha of tefillah, which is correct. You can't deny that deduction. That's correct. Shofar is halacha of tefillah. Question is, in what way is shofar a halacha of tefillah? And what does it have to, if shofar is in fact tefillah, what does it have to do with the first part, kabe shofar god l'cheresenu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mispalel. I mean, what does it mean? It seems like two different things. Okay, so if the bracha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to our tefillah via the instrument of the shofar, that's very nice. But what does that have to do to kabe shofar gadol l'cheresenu? What's the connection? What's the connection? Okay, this bracha of tekabe shofar gadol l'cheresenu itself is very interesting. Why? Because really you have it in three forms. One form you have it here. Tkabe shavgod l'charesenu v'sonis l'kabez galu yosenu v'korev pizurenu v'bein ha-goyim v'fusasenu kaneis miyakse oretz v'avienu l'tzien ircho berino v'l'shlein beis midoshcha v'simchas olam v'shom nasa l'fnechas kovenos chodasen k'mitzuv v'lenu v'sasecha l'demo shavdachem pichu v'edachem kamo. Okay. That's one place that you have the tefillah. Where do you have that tefillah again? Two other places you have the same tefillah. Where do you have that tefillah again? Regular Shmoneh Esrei is another place. Every day. T'kabe Shofar, one of the Baruch Shmoneh Esrei. T'kabe Shofar God l'cher yisenu v'sonis l'kabez gali yisenu v'kabzeni yachad me'arba kanfos ha'oros l'artzenu. But over there it's abbreviated. You don't say the korit prizurenu ben agoyim for seni kanes miyak se'oros. They don't say it over there. It's abbreviated. Okay? There's another place that you have the tefillah. Where's the other place you have the tefillah? Right before. You had it just before. In the he had it just before in Musaf, in Malchus. Okay, in Malchus you have Musaf also, Musaf Ayom, and actually the tefillah that we say in Shofros is identical with the tefillah that we have in Karbanos. Okay, with one exception. You say also the kore pizurenu ben agoyim fusasenis kanes miyakse oretz, same thing. Vavien l'tzien ircho berino v'shlayim beis midoshcha b'simchas olam, exact same thing. V'sham nasa l'fnechas korbanos chavaseinu, but you say specifically t'midim kisidrim osafim kol chasam, and over here you say v'sham nasa l'fnechas korbanos chavaseinu k'mitzuv olayne b'sar secha, same exact thing, except over here you're not going to spell out the korbanos, it's generally, you're asking generally for the return of the Kabbalists. What's the difference between the one in Shofros and the one in Musaf and Karbanos? What's the difference? The difference is substitution. This here substitution takes place. In the one in Shofros, you say, T'kabe Shofar God l'cheresenu, v'sanes l'kabez golu yosenu. Okay? Over here, and then you say the Korif Pizarenu. But in Karbonos you say, Ovinu Malkenu Galei Kvod Malchuscho Olenu Mehero Vahofa Vinose Olenu Leinu Kochoi. That's the introduction. So instead of T'kabe Shofar, it's Galei Kvod Malchuscho Olenu Mehero. Okay? And over here, instead of Galei, you say T'kabe Shofar. That's the only difference. But basically it's a repetition, word for word, of the same tefillah that you had already in Karbanos. Okay. So the question is, why do you have these three forms? If the proper form is T'kabe Shofar, so why don't we say T'kabe Shofar and by Mitnei Chataino in Karbanos? Elamai is saying Karbanos, there's no reason to mention Shofar. So why do we say Shofar every day? Every day we say T'kabe Shofar God L'Chayr Seino. What sheikh does every day have to Shofar? If T'kabe Shofar is indigenous only to Rosh Hashanah, when you actually use the instrument of the Shofar, you blow the Shofar, so why every day say T'kabe Shofar? There's no Shofar every day. There is no Shofar every day. Okay, even in the Middash, according to the Rambam, the Shofar Midaraisa was not every day. It was in Yom Simchaschem from Dechem Rosh Hashanah. And that wasn't even Shofar. That's Chatzaitris. That's Chatzaitris. So you don't even have Chatzaitris every day. So what is it? Why do we say T'kabe Shofar? And if T'kabe Shofar is appropriate all over, so why don't we say T'kabe Shofar over here? Okay. What is it, in short? In other words, what's the reason for these three forms of the tefillah? Okay. That's my first point. Okay. Now let's take another point. Okay. There's a Mishnah in Shuas. I'm sorry. Shuas, I forgot. Okay. Masech de Shuas. You have an interesting, very interesting thing. There's a Mishnah in Shuas, the very first Mishnah in Shuas, which really has nothing to do with Shuas, but the Tana fit it in here. Okay? Oh, the whole thing, why the Tana put it in here? But that's where it is. Now, the Mishnah says like this. The Mishnah speaks about the different types of chatoyim and the different requirements that the Torah prescribes for a person who does any one of these chatoyim and the conditions under which these chatoyim take place. It's a very complicated Mishnah. I'm just going to try to simplify and just extract what we need for this year. Okay? All right. Right in the beginning of Shavuos, Beis Medalef. Okay. Now, in order for a person to be chayiv in a korban, the basic format is he has to have a yediyah betchila, halama, and yediyah besof. Means he knows. For instance, a person knows he's tamei. Okay. Then he forgets. He goes into the mikdash. Then later remembers. All right. Simple. Okay. So he's chayiv in a korban. Now it says like this. Now the mishnah like this. Let's say, for instance, he has two out of the three. The first two out of the three. So first he knows that he was tamei, forgets, walks into the mikdash. Okay. So then what happens? And then he doesn't remember anymore. He doesn't remember. He doesn't remember. So what does the mishnah say? So the mishnah says like this. Yesh bo yediyah betchila, ve'im bo yediyah besof. Soyer hanasa bifnim. Okay. Soyer hanasa bifnim. Okay. The soyer of Yom Kippur, that they do the zrika, the kohen gadol does the zrika in kodesh kodashim. Soyer hanasa bifnim is the halacha is the Yom Kippurim tola. So this Sawyer and Nasa Bifnim suspends the Onesh. Okay, suspends the Onesh. Until he realizes. When he realizes he's going to be Chayav a Karbon. Alright? There's a problem with that. I mean, do you see the problem with that? I mean, what's the problem? There's an intrinsic problem with this. With this statement. Alright? If you don't see it now, you'll see the next one. Okay. Next one's like this. You have another case. You have a case like this. Al she'ein bo yediyah lo b'tchila v'lo b'sof. Let's say he never knew, but he never knew he was tamei to begin with. And he never found out. It means he simply never knew. Okay? Never knew he did the other. Had no idea. So the Mishnah says, Se'irei hori golem u'se'irei chodoshim machapim. So then the Se'irim that are brought on the Regolim, every regal it says, Asorecha l'chatas l'Hashem, so that's Machaper, and Siri Rosh Chodashim, the Asorecha brought on Rosh Chodashim. Divrei Reb Yehuda, that's what Reb Yehuda maintains. Reb Shimon Omer, Se'irei or Golem Machaper. Which ones are now? You make a mistake. The seerim of the golem that he agrees with machapa for that. Avalo seer Rosh Chodashim, and seer Rosh Chodashim comes something else. Okay. So now, what's the question? What's the question on the obvious question? The same question as before that we should have asked before. What's the question? No yediyah. No yediyah.
What's the avera in mind?
Exactly. Question is, what kind of a kapara is this? What kind of, I mean, it's a kapara for a person that never found out anything, never knew what. What? He doesn't know what happened. He has no idea. So in the base of Migdash, so they're being machaper for him. He doesn't even know he did an avera. What kind of a kapara is this? What kind of a kapara? A kapara without any kind of a idea. What do you need it for? I mean, Ribbono Shel Olam, just don't. You don't need it. If God wants to forgive him for it, he can forgive him for it. What does he need this? It's not an avera. Obviously, he's not culpable. He's not culpable. So what's the necessity for it? You have to have a sorrow that's brought for someone who doesn't know what he did. He never realizes it, and this is a machap. He doesn't even know to bring it for him. He has no shaychus. He might not even know the Mishnah. Doesn't say only if he knows the Mishnah. He doesn't even know the Mishnah. He's walking around. There's no shaychus to anything. And something's being done that's being machaper for what? Doesn't make any sense. The Rambam, it's a tough mission to understand. See, Rashi on the first instance also you have the same problem, because you have Yediyah B'Tchila. And B'Shas Maisa, there's no Yediyah, doesn't know anything. So the Mishnah says it's Tola. So Rashi says, what is Tola? Lohogein Olav Minay Yisurin. It protects him. It suspends the judgment, in other words. No, it protects him from any kind of onus, any kind of pain. Shafo pisheini yedei shechota, Rashi says, even though he doesn't know that he sinned, yesh lo l'daig. He has to worry. What do you mean, he has to worry? You understand Rashi? Worry about what? What's he supposed to worry about? Shekol ha-shogigim tzrichin kapara l'kesheyedu alma kodem yediya anushimhein, Rashi says. So you see that before the yediya, they're also in a state where they're deserving of an onesh. What kind of a thing is this? And so now the korban without yediya, without knowing, what kind of an institution is this? Here you see the halacha goes beyond the realm of what a person would normally understand as kapara, as against. It's counterintuitive. It goes completely against what a person thinks of tshuva. There's something, obviously, the Mishnah is saying something. This is a mesorah from machlekes tanoim in detail, but the basic concept nobody disagrees with. The Rambam himself says in the Pirush Mishnayis, and the machlokas of which is the machaper, is it the Seirei Rosh Chodeshim and Seir Yom Kippur, or no, only Seir Rosh Chodeshim? That's the Tanayim have machlokas. So the Rambam in his Pirush Mishnayis says like this. He says, just give me a second now.
Is this after
halachah
and Middash, in other words?
Middash, davka lachamiddash. Davka lachamiddash. But it's kapara. He says, Ram says, machlokes zeh. This machlokes, whether it's the Seirei. Yeah, chetz middash. Yeah, tumas middash. Tumas middash. Yeah, okay. Yeah, at any rate. Yeah. Okay. So he says like this. So the Ram says, he says, Machlok is there, this argument, lo nemar bo halacha kedivrei ploni. Doesn't say the halacha like this mandama who says it's the Seirei Haragolim, the first mandama, the old Seirei Golem and Seirei Rosh Chodeshim, or whether it's only Seirei Haragolim. He says it doesn't say a halacha about this. Why? Lefishu dova chozer al Hashem Yisbarach. This is something which God knows, which one is machaper. He says, v'omnam heim cholkim behekish v'rayas me'apsukim. They argue about the from the psukim with Rayas, which one does what. He says, ukvar bi'ano shekol svara min ha-svaros she'ena ba'ali de ma'isim min ha-ma'isim. He says, any svara which doesn't result in any kind of action. So he says, sheyipo b'machlokis bein ha-chachomim, and there's an argument among the chachomim, but there's no practical relevance to the argument. There's no practicality. God knows which carbon is machaper. To us, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing to do about it. He says, lo nema ba'alocha keploni. We don't say that halacha is like this person. Okay? Because the Rambam explained already in Sanhedrin, explained that whenever you have machlokas and ideas alone, so you can't say which one of the chachamim is right, because in svara there's no halacha doesn't say who's right. Halacha dictates how we should act, but who's right? I mean, who's right? We can't say. Only God knows who's right. But the how we should act, that we have a system of how to resolve the problem of Maise HaMetzvah. That the Torah gave us a system. But who's right? That we don't know. Only God knows is right. So that's something else. You want to say, you want to bring Rayas? You want to say, we want to know the truth as much as we can. The Torah is certainly not just a system of Maise. It's essentially an intellectual system, a system of idea, but idea, a system of idea and Maise, both. But halacha only is only appropriate in Maisa. Halacha has nothing to do with idea. So the Rambam says this machlekes is a machlekes. God knows this machlekes. We don't know. So what's the whole purpose of it? I mean, what's the purpose of the whole institution? You see, what's the purpose? What kind of a kapara is this? We don't even know which one is the machaper, and is the whole machlekes. Okay. So that's the second question we have. The first question is the formulation of the Tefillah of Tekabishofar, and the second question is this strange kind of a kapara that you have in the Mishnah without knowing even that you ever did the Avera. Okay. Now, let me take up something else that has nothing to do with these two problems. A different problem altogether. Okay. It's a problem with the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. The Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim says something that's difficult to understand. The Rambam, it's the Rambam, at chapter 35, where he's dealing with prophecy. Okay, it's in the second book, chapter 35. All right. So he speaks about that 4 points differentiate the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu from other prophets. The prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu from other prophets. Okay, he says he's not going to repeat here what these are, but he says like this. Because he makes it clear, he says, "For I must tell you, whatever I say here of prophecy refers exclusively to the form of prophecy of all prophets before and after Moshe. But as for the prophecy of Moses, I will not discuss it in this work with one single word, whether directly or indirectly. Because in my opinion, the term prophet is applied to Moses and other men homonymously." It's a different kind of a thing. It's not even, can't even call it the same thing. The Nevuah of Moshe. For in my opinion, he says, because in my opinion, the term prophet is applied to Moses and other men homonymously. This is a homonym. It's only, for want of a better term. That's what a homonym is. Homonym is, we can't find anything better. So we have to use that word. I mean, Yad Hashem, Vachoraf Hashem. You can't find any better way to express the idea that God relates to man. So we use this expression. But really, there's nothing in common in actuality between a person getting angry and between God and getting angry. Just for want of expression, we have to use this borrow term. Okay, that's what he says. So the Rambam makes it clear. I mean, here you see right away the way of thinking of the Rambam, that the very term of a prophet is inapplicable to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a completely qualitatively differentiated kind of a phenomenon. He's not even going to discuss even directly, indirectly, not one word about it over here, because that's something completely different. Okay. Now he says like this. Okay. Now he gets into a distinction. He gets into a distinction, another distinction. A similar distinction, I think, must be made between the miracles wrought by Moses and those wrought by other prophets. For his signs are not of the same class as the miracles of other prophets. Different class altogether. Okay? He says that his prophecy was distinguished from all of those of his predecessors is proved, and I appeared to Abraham, etc., But by my name, Yudke Vovke, I was not known unto them. Okay. So the Rambam used that. I'm not going to... That's what the Rambam uses, the Pasuk, to prove that it's completely different. The Osos, the Mosim, everything. That parasha talks about the fact that the miracle. So the Rambam learns it's not... Bekel Shakai, Ushmir Hashem Lonedati Lohem. And then it goes on to say about the Osos and the Mofsim, according to the Rambam, what the Torah is saying is that these miracles that Moshe was going to do are completely different, because he's a different kind of a prophet than any other prophet, before or after. Okay. Now the Rambam. So far, so good. Very nice. Okay. We have some idea what the Rambam means. Now it's like this. Or at least we think we have an idea. Okay. Now it's like this. It says, the general distinction between the wonders of Moses and those of other prophets is this. Right? He's not talking about the prophecy itself. He's talking about the wonders. The wonders, he's going to tell you what the difference is. He says, the wonders wrought by prophets, or for them, for the prophets, not necessarily by the prophet, but for the prophet, are witnessed by a few individuals. E.g., for example, the wonders wrought by Elijah and Elisha. He says, the king of Israel is therefore surprised and asks Gehazi to describe to him the miracles wrought by Elisha. Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha has done. And it came to pass, he was telling, etc., etc. Okay, and Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is a woman, this is a son, whom Elisha restored to life. All right, the same is the case with the signs of every other prophet except Moses, our teacher. Okay, that's what the Rambam says. So basically he says that the distinction is that the miracles that were wrought by Moshe Rabbeinu were done in front of everyone. As in contradistinction to the miracles which were wrought by other prophets that were not done in front of the entire people. And he repeats this later. He says like this. He says, the Torah says in the end of Devarim, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses in all the signs and the wonders in the sight of all Israel. Two things are here mentioned together, namely that there will not arise a prophet that will perceive as Moses perceived, or a prophet that will do as he did. Then it is pointed out that the signs were made in the presence of Pharaoh, his servants, the opponents of Moses, also in the presence of all the Israelites his followers. Compare, in the sight of all Israel. This is a distinction not possessed by any prophet before Moses, nor, as is correctly foretold, will it ever be possessed by another prophet. Then he says, we must not be misled by the account that the light of the sun stood still certain hours for Joshua when he said, in the sight of Israel. He says, because it doesn't say in the sight of all Israel, as it says in reference to Moses, so also the miracle of Elijah at Mount Carmel was witnessed only by a few people. Doesn't sound like it enough, but that's what Ram says. Okay? When I said above that the sun stood still certain hours, I explained the words. It says, Kiyom Tomim. It says, so it says, Shemesh, it says, let's get the first part of the passage. Kiyom Tam. Kiyom Tam means a complete day. He says, this means the longest possible day. Because Tamim means perfect, the perfect day. The most perfect day means the day that partakes of dayness to the most perfect degree, which would mean the longest day. Okay. And indicates that day appeared to the people at Givon as their longest day in the summer. Okay. That's it. Some people try to say the Rambam means it just in their imagination. I don't think that's what it means. There was that everybody suddenly imagined that it was a longer day. I mean, what I think the Rambam maintains that it didn't happen. It wasn't an event that would cause in our astronomical description that the Earth stopped its rotation. Because then everybody knows it. Yeah. Yeah, then everybody knows it. Doesn't mean that. Does not mean that. Okay? So, according to those who ask this, the kasha from astronomy and how it's possible, according to Rambam, there's no kasha. I'm not saying it's not possible. Anyways, astronomy, but that's a different story. But the Rambam doesn't get into that kind of thing, because the Rambam maintains the Earth, the celestial body, the solar system, nothing changed in the solar system. Sun, the Earth, whatever the rotations of the Earth and the around the Sun and the rotation of the Earth on its axis, and there's nothing changed. Okay? Yeah. Nothing changed. But it was for those people present at that moment in Givon only, it appeared to them as the longest day. As the longest day. Okay. I mean, I'll just say what my opinion is, and what the Rambam means is that it was a phenomenon of refraction, basically. Refraction was known to the Rambam. Refraction was known by the Greeks. Already had done experiments on refraction. So what it means is that some kind of a substance caused the refraction of the sun. Because actually, when we have sunset, as you know, I mean, the sun is already set 5 minutes early, 8 minutes early. I don't know exactly what it is, but there's a time lapse because of the atmosphere. So the image of the sun is the lines don't go straight, but causes them to bend, And therefore, when you see the sun, it's not the actual sun you're seeing. The sun is already set. But refraction causes this phenomenon that the sunset that we see, of course, halacha doesn't go by the real sunset. Halacha goes by the sunset that we see with our eyes, the refracted sunset. But what the Rambam means is simply that it was a phenomenon of refraction that was that only took place for, I believe. I mean, I can't say because he doesn't say. He avoids it, sort of. But I don't believe it means that they imagine. I don't believe that that's what it means. It was some kind of phenomenon, but it was... refraction actually fits the requirements for a simple reason, because the pasuk says shemesh begivon dom the yoreach beemek ayalon. What does the yoreach have to do with it? The yoreach is on a different system. Yoreach is going around the earth. So, and what do you need the yoreach for? But the answer, because refraction would involve both, because since if there's a refraction, so then both things that you see are going to be refracted. Okay, so at any rate, but that's a side point. Okay, but at any rate, the Rambam maintains it wasn't done. He goes out of his way to say it was not done in front of everybody. The whole world didn't witness this thing. And according to the Rambam, it's a very serious thing. According to the Rambam, those who say that the whole world witnessed it, it's almost like you're denying Nevuas Moshe in a sense. Okay, all right. So, but the question. There's two things. So the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. The Ramban maintains that these things were also done in front of everyone. You got the Ramban here. Ramban, okay, yeah. See, the Ramban says what he says based on the pasuk. I mean, I want you to know the pasuk is a very powerful. The last few pesukim are a very powerful pesukim in the Torah. Alo kam navi od Yisrael kamosha sheyedar Hashem panim apanim lechola osos va'mofsim asher shlochal ar Hashem lasos beretz Mitzrayim. It ties together. I mean, the Rambam is not just conjecture. The Rambam's the pesukim. There you see his yedias Hashem is different than anybody else's. Lechola osos, but then the Torah adds in its way. To tell you there's a tie-in between Moshe Rabbeinu's Yedias Hashem, the fact that he was unique in his Yedias Hashem, he was also unique insofar as the miracles he performed. I mean, the Rambam is supported very strongly from the pasuk that in its ingenious manner ties together. You see, it's subtly, of course, the way it usually does. A person that doesn't know his reason, you know? But a person that looks at the dikduk and the lashon and the way it's formulated, it are intentionally tied together. The osos and mofsim with the yedias Hashem of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're both unique. Okay, and the Rambam emphasized the last two words and the last three words in the Torah, "Lene Kol Yisrael." Okay, so the Ramban quotes the Rambam. He says, "Varav," and the Ramban also saw the gist of the pesukim, and he wanted to understand. Well, he saw the same thing. I mean, that it's tied together. There's no one argues that. It's clear. But he says, "What is the difference?" He wanted to define the difference. So he says, "Harav Amar B'Mora Hanavukim." It means in front of kol Yisrael. In other words, against all his enemies, openly, and la'ene kol Yisrael. It was done publicly in front of everyone. For certain individuals, ki'inyan shenemar. Sapronoli is called Gdol Shosolisho. He says, he quotes the Rambam. Okay, that's the end of the quote. Let's go further. He says, Veinen Anochem Veinai. This is not right. Why? Ki Atziras HaGishomim LeElyahu. He says, when Eliyahu prophesied that there's not going to be any Geshem, he says, the Atziras, and then when it came later, this Pasmum Ma'od. All right. And the Gamay Bigzam and Chai Hashem and Yah Shanam Eilat Talamota Kim Lefi Dvari. Okay, Behemshech Inyan Shalosh Hashanam Nizgala Ma'od. Uba Goyim Nishmai. Says everybody heard about it. Uksiv and Yesh Goyim Amlocha Shalosh Shalach Adani. Everybody heard about the Nisim of Eliyahu. Okay. And then he says, and Harakamel also. Shlach kivot zelayis kol Yisrael Harakamel ves neviya bal arba meos v'chein amidas Hashem shli Yoshua yabem eslene kol Yisrael v'ro so kol malchi knano chomim bov v'nisharim. Okay. So, Rabbi Sandy has kiru kain shiro so mesofo v'matsofo v'kos of maflik bom ha'od. So he doesn't accept the Rambam. Then kriyas yad, then question the Rav Man raised. He says, kriyas yamsuf. He says, Kriyas Yarden, when you ask, Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, great, same thing. Alright, these are the questions. My purpose is not really to go into Machlekes in the Ramban. What is Ramban saying in the end, actually? Ramban gives Zomsha. I won't leave you holding it. Ramban says, so what is the difference? So the Ramban says, it's not a problem, he says, because the difference. He says the nafkamida, the difference is like this. He says aval afib shuta shemikra kol kasher mechuba lo kom navel b'Yisrael kemoshe sheidoshem malpan pan v'lasos osos u'mofsim biyod chazaka over mora gadol kemoshe. Okay, then asum mitzvas man lo yigil rubam lo malak gadol shemem ki lo yakiyom sinai lafan of achrav. Says yom sinai itself. He says achol osos u'mofsim includes sinai. How do you know it includes Sinai? Because the pasuk says, "V'zelcho ha'os asher anochi shlachticha." Is as batzecha zom etzayim tavdu nesolakim lo harzeh. So that's the greatest of all osos. My Sinai itself. So that's what the Ramban answers. The Ramban says that what it means is the quality of the neis. Never, no other navi ever experienced, was ever able to bring about. Or had Nisan done for him in the same quality. Never had such a mora godly yoda chazaka. Nisan, but never so awesome, so awe-inspiring. Okay. That what? It was awe-inspiring. Again, that. The pasuk says. Pasuk. But the question is, obvious question is that everybody asks, is what difference does it make? I can understand the quality of the nace. So then you say Moshe Rabbeinu was greater. Okay. And then you see, of course, a claw in Torah that the nisim that Moshe was able to bring about is tied to his Yediyas Hashem. That you see from the Pasuk, actually. The whole osus in Yeshayda, final. All right. But what difference does it make if many people see, half of the people see? All right, so the Rambam will say everybody wasn't in Harakamel. Okay, and what if they were there? They weren't there. What's the difference? So this half tells the other half. I mean, what's the difference? Well, what difference does it make? I mean, the Ramban, I understand. He says a certain quality of a nace that only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to bring about through his Yediyas Hashem. It's necessary to have a certain level of Yediyas Hashem. So he is the only one. But what do I care if how many observers there are for the nace? What do the observers have to do with the nace? That's the question. Same nace. You have 50 people there. You have a million people there. What's the difference? Okay. What the Rambam says was for practicality was only after Yetzias Mitzrayim, not before. Because before the pasuk says Laman Ravos Mofsai Beretz Mitzrayim was not practical. Okay. Rambam means afterwards. Okay. But anyway, I don't have a philosophical answer for the Rambam. But I have a metaphysical answer. Okay? There's a difference. Philosophical answer means you can understand it. Philosophical. metaphysical, it means we could frame it, but we can't really understand it. Okay? There's a difference. But in Yadis, we're mistopic b'mu'at. I mean, sometimes we don't understand something all the way, but if we could frame it, if we could have some way of dealing with it, that's also considered limud. It's also considered progress. Okay. What I believe like this. So I believe the Rambam maintains. You see, the Rambam maintains that, and I don't think anybody disagrees with this basic premise, that his galus hakadosh baruch hu. His galus, God's revelation to man is not in an accidental way. It is Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, like this. With God, it's not that God is doing a great feat and people are observing him. That would be something in the ordinary human sense we have such a concept. Mm-hmm. You see, that someone does a great feat and there are observers. So therefore, the question is, what difference if he does a great feat? What difference does it make? How many observers do you have? You understand what I mean? No. His galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the observer and the event are one entity. In other words, his galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that God reveals himself to the people. The revelation and the people is not the people are observing from the outside something. It means that there is a phenomenon going on where God is relating, revealing himself to the people. The observers are part of the phenomenon of his galus, of revelation. Revelation takes in the observer as a part of the phenomenon of revelation, not the observers on the outside watching it. You see? Okay. It's included. Okay. The same thing with Nevuah. See, Nevuah is not something that occurs in the Navi as an observer. Nevuah is a relationship between God and the Navi. The Navi is part of the process of Nevuah. Without the Navi, there's no Nevuah. The same thing with this Galus. With this Galus, the people are part of the phenomenon. What the Rambam maintains is that this Galus, the extent of the Isgalus is a different quality in the Isgalus. If the Isgalus is if the revelation involves a small amount of people, that's a smaller degree of God's midah of revealing himself to people. If the revelation involves more people, then it's a greater degree of God's midah of Isgalus levnei adam. You see, that's what the Rambam maintains. That's why the Rambam says it's significant how many people observed it. And the Rambam is very adamant, and he says, only Moshe Rabbeinu can partake of the Midas, his Galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to that degree. No other Navi could ever partake of that Midas, his Galus. You see? Okay. Why that's so? I'm not going to go into it. I don't want to go into it. I mean, I can give you reasons, but it's not important. I just want to frame the principle. The principle is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mizgala Livnei HaAdam. He reveals himself to man. To man on the whole. Okay? Now, the more people that are involved, the more the quality of this Galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being expressed. And that's why the only one that was deserving of participating in his Galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the ultimate degree, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, and at any time, at will, no matter who was present, enemies, friends, it means that basically the laws of nature were at Moshe Rabbeinu's feet. He came to Paro, and whatever happened, I mean, it wasn't necessary for him to be concerned who was present, what it was about. He was able to demonstrate in front of everyone. There were no restrictions. Unlimited restrictions. Unlimited. So therefore, the Isgalus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the quality of the Isgalus, was different. And the amount of people involved is precisely what determines the Midas Isgalus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Rambam is saying, basically. That's why it makes a big difference how many people are involved. Okay. So really, Isgalus... One second. His Galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a separate midah which God doesn't allow anyone to participate in unless they're on a certain level. So certain Nevi'im could participate in his Galus to a certain degree. That's the way the Rambam learns the pasuk. Certain Nevi'im could participate in his Galus to a certain degree. But lo kom Navi od kemoshe asher yidah at Hashem panim v'panim. Moshe Rabbeinu's yidiyas Hashem was on a different plane. Like the Rambam says, qualitatively differentiated. How? L'chola osas v'mofsum l'chola yarech hazaga. Don't think that osas and mofsum are extraneous. They're not extraneous. That's part of midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his midas is galus. And in order to participate in the midas is galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be a participant in yediyas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the level of your yediyah is directly proportional to the level in which you could participate with midas is galus. And you know, the idea of participating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just over here. I mean, you see Chazal mentioned, for instance, the Gemara Chazal say that there's a mechilta that says, and it's in a lot of places, just want to have my, it says, for instance, v'cholom nitzav olav min boker ador, by Moshe Rabbeinu, in Yisrael. Okay, so everybody was standing there asking Moshe Rabbeinu Shavuos from morning till night. Okay, and Yisrael said, you're going to get exhausted. Strange mechilta. Mechilta says, v'chiyav shalom akein. He says, in kein tarasa masay nasis. Moshe Rabbeinu was standing there answering Shabbos all day. How's he going to learn himself? Okay. So the Mechilta says, the Mechilta takes the pasuk out of its literal translation. It says V'chol la'om nitzav olav min boker ad arev. It says over here, it says min boker ad arev. And over in the beginning, Bereishis v'yer v'yvoker. So he says that anyone that's posek din don din la'amito is nasa shutif la'kadosh baruch hu the ma'aseh bereishis. Okay, I'm not going to go into the pshat in that pasuk in Yisrael. I mean, I'm not going to what kind of a pshat it is, because the literal pshat in the pasuk seems to disagree. But anyway, the point where the you find many times, just one time, where Chazal say a person is nasa shutif adon din lamito nasa shutif, becomes a partner with God in the creation. Okay. So you see, when we say that man participates with God in something, it means it reflects a certain level. God doesn't allow man to participate with him if he's not on the level. There's two ways a person can participate. Participate in Maisa Bereishis, apparently, there's this Galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria itself. That anyone can participate. But in Midas is Galus, in Revelation itself, it requires a unique kind of a person. And his participation in this Midas is Galus is directly in accordance with his level. That's what the Rambam says. And Revelation is measured by the participants. Because that's what Revelation is. It is to the people. Revelation to the people. People aren't just outside observers. Okay, it's a separate phenomenon. We'll get a little closer to understanding. I'm just trying to frame it basically. I'll give you a little more of a way to handle it. A little more. And what Adam mentioned before could very well play a role. But like, in other words, it could, the Yediyas Hashem means that it makes perfect sense to say that Yediyas, that the reason is, part of the reason is because the person who participates in his galus, it means every Navi has to understand what he's doing. He has to have Yediyah. It requires a certain yediyas Hashem and an understanding of his mida of being of his galus, and the level of understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is proportional. You have to have that yediyah in order to participate in it, and only Moshe Rabbeinu had that yediyah. That makes sense. Yes, but it doesn't exhaust the subject. I mean, I'm just trying to yes, that's true. Very good. Yes. I don't do practical or not. The Ram doesn't say practical or not. The Ram does not mention practical, forget about it. It doesn't matter, practical or not. He's saying there's a different barometer over here, not practicality. Okay, now, yeah.
Two questions for you. First of all, you said the more witnesses there are means that it's a different quality. Okay, now, I mean, does that go by each additional person means it's a whole new quality, or what are the demarcations?
Well, since it's galus, the term is galus would indicate that there has to be a... it has to be some kind of a measurable difference, you know, not one more person. Okay, it's in the way, yes? I'm not answering your question. Let's just go further. Okay.
According to this.
Stop it? Oh, I had it off there. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. What I just did was just clarify the difference So in his gala, since it's initiated by God, okay, that's why you could have people that are not worthy that are part of the Hisgalus. That are part of the Hisgalus. See, because if it's initiated by the Yachid, the Navi has to initiate it himself. He needs certain conditions, certain mental states, and he can't always do it. A lot of times he's aggravated, he can't do it. It's beyond his control sometimes. He can't get himself into that framework. That's after he has all the requirements that are necessary as a person, then he needs certain requirements, conditions that are necessary, conditions in his makeup, which sometimes he can't achieve. That's why B'nai Anavim always tried to achieve that state in which they could attain prophecy. Where the Yochid is the one that has to achieve this state, where he has to initiate the process, he has to be worthy. Be worthy in many, many, many ways. But where God initiates the process, then the Yochid might be an unworthy person, worthless person. But he could still partake of the Midas Hisgalus. If God deems it proper that the Hisgalus should take place. Okay? And that's different. I'm really more framing things than trying to give explanations very detailed. But I think there is an explanation in what I'm saying. Yes? Now the question is, why didn't, get back to my original question, why didn't the Rambam say, Miyisode Ados, Leda, Shakarash Baruch Hu, Megale Kvodo Livnei Adam? Why isn't that one of the Yisod Yadas? Why isn't one of the principles, one of the fundamental principles of our religion, that God reveals himself to man? It's not there. Okay? I believe the answer is the answer, according to the Rambam, after the Rambam formulated the Yisodas. Okay? The answer, according to the Rambam, is something else the Rambam held. The Rambam had, and again, I can explain it to you metaphysically, but not philosophically. The Rambam maintained that his Galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a component, or you might say, is a part, an offshoot. I mean, I would call it, in a sense, so you have to be careful choice of words there, but just to make it clear, like a byproduct of Nevoah. Okay? In a certain sense, I'm just using that in order that we could handle the idea that his Galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a part of Nevoah, a part of Nevoah. What does it mean? And that's really derived from the pasuk, "V'lo kom Navi od kemoshe asher yador Hashem panim upon l'chol ha'osos v'amosim l'chol ha'yelach hazaga asher osam osh l'ani kol Yisrael." It means to say that What was the essence in order to have this Hisgalus? What did you have to have? Nevuah. Nevuah and Hisgalus go together. You see, it's interesting, but the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim, where he talks about Maimed HaSinai, so the Rambam says over there, he says, no one perceived what Moshe Rabbeinu perceived. Not only does he say that, but he goes so far as to say that why the Aseres HaDibros HaBalashin Yachid, Lashin Anochi Ar Hashem Elokecha. Why doesn't it say Anochi Hashem Elokechem? So he says, because it was directed to Moshe Rabbeinu. So really, it was essentially Nevuas Moshe. But Hisgalus means that when there is prophecy, when there is Nevuah, then there can be a concomitant process of Hisgalus. A process that runs alongside it of Hisgalus. You see, process galus. Okay. Yes, in ratio to the greatness of the perception of the nevuah. So his galus is not a separate. If the Rambam would have written the Yesode Ados Leda Sheisha Karish Baruchum is Gala Kevodo Livnei Adam, it would have implied that God suddenly, boom, he reveals himself to people. There's no such thing. It's a part. You need a vehicle. Exactly. It's a part of nevuah. And that's why does the Rambams, and why do we all say, why is it so important to us that we say Yemos HaMashiach, what's the role of the Mashiach? I mean, I know I heard a lot of discussions on Mashiach going on, especially go to Rishlaim. So some people are very excited about the Mashiach. Some people say no, we shouldn't be excited about Mashiach. We should be excited about God. Well, what do we need the Mashiach? Just God to reveal Himself. You know what I mean? What's the answer? But you see, Yadis has them both tied together. And the Rambam makes a point of saying that the Melech HaMashiach will be Navi Gadol Karov LeMoshe Rabbeinu. He will be close to Moses. The Chacham Gadol Yosef Mishlomo. He'll be more wise than King Solomon. So why is it so important, the personality of the Navi? I mean, to us, the personality of the Navi is not really important in terms of our religion. It's Goyim. The pagan Goyim got excited about the miracles, so they made a whole thing out of Mashiach. But in Yadus, is only Hashem Elokim. Mashiach is the only person, just a person. Bas Vadam. So what is his importance? The answer is, Mashiach means his galus, and his galus is impossible without Nevuah. Therefore, the Melech HaMashiach must be the greatest Navi. Korov LeMoshe Rabbeinu, closest. That means apparently even greater than Eliyahu HaNavi, because Eliyahu HaNavi was the greatest of the Nevi'im under Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, similarly. But the so you see that's why Mashiach is tied to the ultimate Geula, because without Nevuah there can't be any Hizgalus. And that's why the Rambam says in the Geras Tamon, he says Nevuah will come back to us. Nevuah says is Avtocha, Nevuah will come back. What do we need Nevuah for? Says not Nevuah. We have all the Sifrei Nevi'im already. There's nothing more that we need. The Sifrei Nevi'im is called the Nui Sinai. It means that's it. There's nothing more that you need. Learn the Navi deeper. You get more ideas. You don't need another Navi to tell you new ideas. So what's the reason? The reason is because there can't be any Hizgalus without Nevuah. That's the Yesod. Okay? That's why the Rambam didn't set up a separate Yesod of Leidash Hashem and Hizgalus Kvod Levnei'elam. Yeah, yes, Rabbi Rosenthal's mentioning an important thing, that the people jump right away to Hizgalus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a nace, Hizgalus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashgachas Hashem is not a nace. That we don't need a nace for. So we can always recognize Hashgachas Hashem, but we should be careful what we say, Hizgalus Hashem, because then we're going on fundamental principles, and Hizgalus has certain, in Yadus has certain structure, and has a certain formulation to it, and it's not just a simple thing like a child imagines Hizgalus. It's far deeper. Yadus is the deepest philosophy, the deepest metaphysic, and Hizgalus. You shouldn't jump and say Hizgalus. You have to know Hizgalus has certain criteria, certain tzura. Hizgalus requires Nevuah. I don't know. The Ramban sees it. The Ramban says openly in this week's parsha, Vayelach, parsha Vayelach. He says Va'anochi Haster Aster Panai. So he has two times Haster Aster. Second time the Ramban says why? He says because the Geula will come behester. The Geula will come in behester. That's what the Ramban says. So if you want to accept the Ramban's interpretation of Psukim and put in line the events, you'd have to say it's Behester, not as Galus. The Gula will start Behester, according to the Ramban. Take a look at this week's parsha. It does explain why the Rambam in the Mora ties Maimon Har Sinai to Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. That explains. Because, why does the Rambam have to do that in the Mora? But the answer is because the Rambam's whole concept of his Galus is tied to Nevuas, so it's tied to Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. As a matter of fact, I mean, the proof is that it's not Hizgalus, Neis Chanukah, is because there's really two Hizgalus. There's Hizgalus Kadosh Baruch Hu Yitzis Mitzrayim, the two Gulas. There's Gulas Mitzrayim, there's Gulas Asida. That's it. There's nothing in between. Okay? All right. Now we have a little bit of an understanding of what we mean when we say, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu Tika b'shofar Gadol l'Chairoseinu. What are we being mispallel for? We're being mispallel for his galus. Because you see, we're being mispallel for his galus, because I showed you this exact same tefillah that we said before, except before we said, if you want to kind of, right? And over here we say t'kabe shofar, but it's the same exact tefillah. So it means a substitution takes place. T'kabe shofar equals galek v'od malchuscha. It's the same thing, but we're using t'kabe shofar. Okay? Why do we use t'kabe shofar? And what does the shofar have to do in specific with his galus? But that's one thing clearly you see. Shofar and his galus are identical. You see, because you see, for instance, by Maimon Har Sinai, the whole of psukim you read in shofar, it's beautiful. Every pasuk there, kolam romas kol zayin veis kol shofar, right? By Vayabiyam who you talk about shofar gadol evolved in Beretz Ashur. Hashem Elokim b'shofar yiskov v'holach b'saros teimon. So you see that what? So you see that the his galus and shofar are identical. Shofar and his galus. That's why, by the way, that's why the Ramban was so much against, and other Rishonim also, were very much against the fact that people use the pasuk in the Lakein of Lakei Avoseinu for shofaros. They use the pasuk of Yom Simchaschem Moadechem Roshach Hashechem Uskatam Achatzotzos Alol Asechem Lazivcha Shalmechem. So the Ramban says, well, no, can't be. That's the wrong pasuk. The others too, not just Ramban. Why do they say it can be? What's so bad? It's got them. So say it says Tkia. No, that's me shofar. It says Tkia. What's so terrible? You have plenty of places to have a Muslim. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is Malchus. Doesn't say anything about Malchus. So you see, a theme is enough to tie it. So why can't you say Uskatem? Uskatem is enough. What's the answer? The answer is because shofar is Esgalus. Chatzotros is not Esgalus. You see? Shofar is identified with Esgalus, not Chatzotros. Chatzotros is something else altogether. Chatzotros is, Rashi says, is kinufya, to gather the people together. Okay? Kinufya. Or it's a revelation of Malchus. Malchus. But it's not his guy. It's a revelation of our coronation. So as I know, it's us recognizing the Melech. That's b'chatzotzos or kol shofar ariyu lifnei Melech Hashem. Actually, in that sense, they're both combined. Chatzotzos and shofar both combined in that sense. That it's Malchus. But not in his galus. His galus is only kol shofar. Only kol shofar. Okay. So now let's just ask another question. What is it in kol shofar? And why is it that kol shofar is his galus? Okay, why is kol shofar his galus? Okay, I think the answer is in the Ramban, not in the Mor Nevuchim and the Yad HaChazaka. Where?
Perek Shavi, is that what he called the business that sells the kol shofar?
Interesting. The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva says like this. He says that it's in Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet. Okay? Exactly. Afal pish et kias shofar barashon exeris akasev remez yeshbo. Klomar. Ur yeshenim mishinaschem v'nirdomim hekitzu mitadamaschem. Okay? It means those that are sleeping should awake from their sleep. That's what the shofar is telling them. And those that are in deep sleep should wake up from their deep sleep. Apparently there are two types of sleepers. Okay, two types of light, and then there's deeper. Okay, and it means the Rambam explains what kind of a sleep that is. He says, "Elu ashochachim eso emes bahavle azman." Those who forget reality, forget the truth, and waste their time with the with nonsense. Okay, and they spend all their years in emptiness and nothingness, things that do not help them in any way. Okay, and they're never concerned about their soul, their essence. So he says that that's what the shofar is, a long message over here, that the shofar is giving this, is giving the yazo, kolacha mikem darko haro machshafta shalotov. Okay. You have two types of sleepers, Ram says. See, there's a philosopher one time asked a question, famous question. He says, how do we know when we're awake that we're really awake? And when we're sleeping, we think it's real. So maybe this is also a dream. And Ram says he's right. He's right. Ram answers that question, yes. That's true. People, they are really asleep. They're still asleep. Okay? So, but there's two kinds of sleep the Rambam mentions. One is Yeshenim and one is Nidomim. What's the difference between Yeshenim and Nidomim?
One is light and the other is
dark. Yeah, I understand. But what's the difference? There has to be an actual difference. See, a light sleeper is not closed out to outside sensory perceptions. You see? As a matter of fact, when a person is asleep and he experiences a sensory perception, they're usually incorporated in a dream. So it means that... Yeah. Right, well, Freud is different. You don't need anything. He has the perceptions are in you already. But anyways... But it is true. I think he does quote. Everybody knows the fact that the experiment has been made where people have been given stimuli while they're asleep and they incorporate it in their dreams. Okay, that's Yeshenim. That means that the reality at least is agitating him to some degree. But Nidomim means that he is completely unaware. He's impervious to any kind of outside stimuli from the real world, the Rambam's real world, which is the world of ideas. Which is the world of ideas. Okay, the world of Chachma. And you see that that's true because by the Navi, what does it say by Avraham Avinu? It says, V'hine tademo gedola nafla alav. Tademo, use the word tademo. Why? Because when the Navi is in a state of prophecy, he can't experience any kind of stimuli from the outside world. Okay? Any kind of stimuli whatsoever. That's Yisod Nevuah. Okay. So the Ram classifies too. But that's the message the Ram gives over here. Okay? Yeah. Now, so what the Ram, and I'm saying, what the Ram says in the Hilchos Tshuva is not just a drush, but the Ram Selva Tshuva, every one of these things is a Yisod, basically, and if you don't know the Yisod, you can't do Tshuva. So what the Ram means like this. So apparently, what is the Tkiyah? What is this Tkiyah Shofar? God's Tkiyah? God's Tkiyah. Hashem Elokim B'Shofar Yiskav. What is God's Tkiyah? God's Tkiyah has to have the same message. The Tkiyah is really the sound, it's the battle cry of reality, basically. That's what it is. In other words, it means that the sound of the shofar, God's shofar, is to awaken. There's no such thing. His galus is not going to do anything if the person doesn't wake up. I mean, if he doesn't recognize reality, all this galus in the world, all the nissim, are not going to do it worthless. In other words, they won't affect him. So you see how Yadus incorporated in his Titus galus with an intellectual recognition, a change of attitude of the person's energies towards the true reality. Tka b'shofar gadol l'cheruseinu means there's no cherus without the tka b'shofar gadol. What is the shofar gadol? The shofar gadol is recognition of reality. That's what Yishei Mishnaschan. If there's no recognition of reality, then what's this galus is worthless? Doesn't mean anything. Okay? This galus is tied to the person's attitude towards Chochmas Hashem. Without the proper attitude towards knowledge, towards Chochmas Hashem, so then this galus is worthless. So that's why Yadis tied the Tkiyas Shofar with his galus. That's a Lekeinu v'Lavkei Avasinu, Tka b'Shofar Godol L'Cheresinu. Okay? Tka b'Shofar Godol L'Cheresinu. And what is... Now you see the tie-in. It says, Kiyata Shomeya Kol Shofar Mazin Chua Vein Domalach. What are we being misspelled for? What is our sound of the shofar? Our sound of the shofar is simply an emulation of the shofar Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're asking, the emulation is, now we listen, when we blow shofar, it has the message of Uri Yishen HaMishinaschem, and with that comes the tefillah for his galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the way Yadus formulated, it's an interesting thing, Yadus really prohibited a man from asking for his galus. Because if a person would ask for his galus, he'll be in a nonsensical state. That's like every fool who thinks he's waiting for apocalyptic. Yeah, apocalyptic era. There's another word else. Yeah, the people are waiting for that. Why? Every fool is waiting for that. Because it appeals to the emotions. It's sensational. You see? It's sensational. But Yadus is very careful with things that people get excited about. Yadus is very careful about that. And Yadus introduced the idea that without Kabbish Shofar, without God calling on us to reflect and to change our attitude, this galus is worthless. It doesn't mean anything. And it answered really asking for his galus. There's only one matir for his asking for his galus. Actually, two matirim. But I'm talking about, what is the matir for asking for his galus? Tka b'shofar. Recognition of shofar. If you have tka b'shofar, then you can ask for his galus. Without tka b'shofar, there's no such thing as galus. That's why, that answers the question, why do you say in every dance field, tka b'shofar, God l'chayr, what is this for shofar? In the middle of the week, there's no shofar. Even in the Mikdash, according to the Rambam, there was only Chatzarches, and it was only in Yantif. So there was no shofar in the middle of the week, even in the Mikdash. So what is the tka b'shofar in the tefillah? Every day in the tefillah, tka b'shofar God l'chayr, what's the answer? The answer is because you're not allowed to ask for his galus. Just to ask for his galus, can't. Without tka b'shofar, you have no right for his galus. It must be a recognition of the kol shofar that the person has to change. And if you don't have that, you can't. So you'll ask me a question, if that's the case, why by Karbonos do you say Avinu Malkeinu Galei Kvod Malchus Cholenu Mehera and you don't say Tka B'Shofar? The answer is, there's another matir. See, there's a matir in Musaf. What's the matir? The matir is karbonos, and our desire, lasos ritzoncha, the kemoshim mitzvah levitzarasecha. So if you're talking about karbonos, you have the matir because I want to do the karbonos. So that's why you could say, if you're makin a galik v'muchas galena meira. Says what's v'nakvul v'necha biyavo. Can mitzvahs ritzonecha? We want to do the mitzvahs. Talking about kabbalas, we have a desire to do the mitzvahs ritzon Hashem. So therefore, we have a right to ask galik vod mochuschon. It's a matir. It's a matir. But ordinarily, without that matir, you must have the tkabah shofar. Without the tkabah shofar, you can't ask. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say. Okay. Now let's just go. Okay. So you have shofar. So basically, you see an interesting thing. Really, what do you see? What do you see from the tefillah from tkabah shofar god lecheresenu? What do you see from that tefillah? You see that from that tefillah. What is this galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I tell you, this galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even though the yoch is not worthy. Right? So it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to man and gives him opportunities. He's not worthy, but he gives him opportunities. Okay? There has to be some kind of a level, like we always say, what Marosh Ben said to Klal Yisrael is not because of you, but because of Hashvosh and Nishbal Avasechem. So you see that there are other considerations. There are other considerations that bring about his galus. But in his galus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives man an opportunity, and he gives man an opportunity to do tshuva. That's tkabi shofar god l'cheresenu. Okay? So you can be mispal for that. Person has a right to mispal for that. All right? Now the halacha of shofar, it's beautiful the way the mitzvah shofar is constructed, because mitzvah shofar is constructed in a way that by doing this ma'isa mitzvah you emulate the tkabah shofar gadol, and through that emulation you can ask for esgalas, because then the esgalas is in the proper way. I'm not going to expand on that, but it's something to think about, of how beautifully the mitzvah is constructed in terms of avoiding simply the rash request for esgalas. It's a very subtle way the mitzvah is formulated. But anyways, let me get back to this point. Mitzvah in shofar, so in shofar you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu reaches man through esgalas. But shofar is a phenomenon of tzibur as well as yachid. How do you know that? Because Taisus says in Rosh Hashanah. Taisus in Rosh Hashanah says, what's the difference? Why weren't they mevatel shofar and they were mevatel lulav on Yom Tov? So what does Taisus answer? So Taisus says, he says, the shofar shehu lahalos is the chof tesan beis. Shehu lahalos zichroneim shel Yisrael la'avim shebashamayim l'rotzel levat l'gamri. V'chiva natikam b'chad bezin, natikam b'chol makam sheish bezin. Af b'shev zman ha'bayis lo'el ha'ben migdish dafka. Okay? So it was only the Mikdash. Why? Because shofar is a fulfillment of the entire tzibur. That's by Yom Ha'u Yitakha B'Shofar Gadol. Okay? Shofar is a fulfillment of the entire tzibur. You see? That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu initiates a process of tshuva. Okay? The process of tshuva is initiated by God. Yitakha B'Shofar Gadol. So he says that they didn't want to be Mavatl, and it was only the Mikdash. But, yeah. Okay. But there's another process. So there's another halacha of shofar too. Shofar is a halacha of yachid also. See, shofar is a halacha of tzibur, and shofar is a halacha of yachid also. So what does this mean? What does the shofar shel yachid mean? What does shofar shel yachid imply? What does shofar shel yachid imply? Shofar shel yachid implies the same message. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu initiates a process of tshuva also, even on the level of a yachid, or plays a role in the yachid, in initiating the process of tshuva for a yachid as well. Shofar is a shofar of tzibur, that's tkabah shofar gadol, but there's a shofar which is a shofar is also a mitzvah of the yachid, the individual also has a chi of shofar. There's a kiyum shofar of tzibur too, but there's a halachic one. But there's certainly, without question, kiyum shofar of yachid, that's the basic mitzvah. So the same concept applies to yachid also. Now where do you see that God really is ma'orer the yachid, that God plays a role in being ma'orer the yachid? The tefillah. Hashiveinu avinu asecha, v'kaveinu malkeinu lavad asecha, v'achzireinu b'shuva shleima lefanecha. How could you say it if it's just you? How could you say it? It's the dvar betelim. So what's the answer? The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays a role in a person doing tshuva. That's a yesod. That's a yesod adas. Where do you see it in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva? The Rambam has the Hilchos Tshuva too. Which one? Where does the Rambam have it? He says, the Rambam says like this, and abor ve'esrim dvorim ha'ma'akven es ha'tshuva. Abor mehen ovon gadol va'osa echad mehen ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maspik biyado lasos tshuva lefi gadol cheto. So you see, the Rambam has a strange thing. He says it's makir the tshuva, but then the Rambam says in the end, and every one of these cases, if he does tshuva, it's good. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makir, and he does, how's it possible? Kol al dvorim kesven afa pishim ma'akven es ha'tshuva ein monin osa. Ela im osa adam tshuva mehen, if a person repented, hareze bal tshuva v'yesh lo chel golam haba. What does it mean? It means to say one thing. Very simple. It means that he forfeits the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in bringing about his tshuva. If he does the Avon Gadol. If he does a certain serious crimes, extraordinarily serious, those crimes, the Rambam says, God removes himself. He's too far away from God. Now God doesn't play any role in bringing about his tshuva. He still could do it, though. It's still not impossible. And if he does, he has a chelon olabah. But his chances are very slim, because God has removed himself from this person. Okay? So you see the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, in Hilchos Tshuva, has the concept that even on the Yachid level, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays a role in bringing about the Tshuva Sayachid. Okay? Now you see, this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays a role in our Tshuva, is precisely what... The other place we see it also is interesting. In the slichas, for instance, in the vidui in the slichas, what do we say? And not in Yom Kippur, but in the vidui slichas. Same. Hashem of God is on the one. Okay. Then what do we say? Hishanu foshanu in slichas. We say hishanu foshanu lachin lo no shanu. The same belibein lazov derech resha v'chish lo no yesha. What does it mean? It means that a Kaddish Baruch Hu should play a role. You have right to misspell for that. Kaddish Baruch Hu should play a role in your tshuva, in bringing about your tshuva. Okay.
It's interesting that on Yom Kippur you don't say that tefillah when you do the slichas biyachidus. Only the shat says that tefillah. But that could be the reason is because with on Yom Kippur you can't be it's not the time to misspell. For tshuva, it's time to actively be involved in doing tshuva. The shatz, however, has a right to be mispowel that the tzibur should be chozer b'tshuva. So that's why it's in the tefillas hashatz, it's not in the tefillas hayachid. Okay.
So you see one thing. You see, and this is a fundamental principle in Yadis, that tshuva is not a natural psychological phenomenon. Interesting thing. Interesting. It's not a natural psychological phenomenon. It is, but it isn't. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva goes through what it means exactly to do tshuva, and you see, if you study that area very well, you see really an in-depth knowledge of the human psyche and what it means for a person to be tshuva, and how it's based on knowledge and knowledge of himself and knowledge of God, knowledge of Torah, knowledge of Yadis, all kinds of concepts, and they're all based on knowledge. That's correct. Insofar as that is concerned, it's natural. But we say also that it's a metaphysical phenomenon as well. That God plays a role in bringing and helping a person and bringing him around to tshuva. You see, it's not tshuva is not just a Platonic secular concept, philosophical concept. It's more, because Yadis revealed to man metaphysical knowledge, which means knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to man, which is beyond philosophy. No philosopher could ever think of such thing, because he has no way of knowing such thing. But Yadis, through Nevuah, taught us that a way where man, he doesn't even know what's happening, but still, in the halachic institution, there's a kapara. So you tell me he's over and over. He's over and over, so let God deal with him on his level. I mean, is he over and over or not? If he is, how's this going to help him? And if he's not, so what does he need it for? The answer is that he is. It's true. Even b'shogeg, and even without yedia, the man has gone astray, you see. But Yadda says that God helps a person, he's tola. God helps a person to do tshuva. He's totally, he doesn't strike him down right away. He gives him a chance. Why? That's midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's reflected through in the halachic system through the Ksi'irim on Rosh Chodesh. It's reflected, that idea is reflected in the halachic system, you see. So the halacha, after all, has to be based on metaphysical reality. What it means is that God grants a person the ability to have the opportunity to do tshuva. Doesn't strike him down right away. He's tola. Stola, you see. But there is a link also. There is a link. It's not just, I said the question was, the person has no yidiyah at all, so what kind of sense does it make? The answer is, there's two levels. There's tzibur and there's yachid. The kapara in the Migdash, in the Mishneh Shavuos, is for tzibur. It means Klal Yisrael on the whole have the Migdash. And they know that these Se'irim are being brought. And they know that man is a chote. And they know that God is a machaper and God gives them a chance. And that's why he has the kapara. It's the idea of the klal that comes about through the halachic system that's machaper for the tzibor. For the tzibor. Because you have to remember, every individual plays a role. We often forget that. We always remember our own personal role. But we forget the fact that we play a role as a member of a great klal. You see, that's usually eclipsed by our own megalomania. But the fact is, you see, in the Nevi'im, for instance, by Yirmiyo, in Avosenu, Anu, Vanu, all the tefillahs, the tefillahs of the Navi, even the tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu, is in the tefillahs of Nevi'im, they include themselves in the tefillahs. Why? Because they recognize their role as a part of a member of the tzibor. The tefillahs, Tkaba Shofar, Gilui Shechina, is only b'tzibur. You can't, I mean, that's why people come in Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, they come to be mispal, but they find something lacking, frustrating about the tefillah. What's frustrating about the tefillah is, the tefillah is directed mainly to the yachid as far as he's a member of the tzibur. You see? Yachid is there also, but it's primarily yachid as far as he's a member of the tzibur. So the kapara, we're mispal really, for the kapara of the klal. I mean, the tefillah yadis demand that a person rise above his own egocentricity, and he recognizes that he's just a member in a great klal, and has to respond for the klal. The kapara for the Seir Rosh Chodeshim, even though people never find out about it, but it's a kapara for the tzibur that has such a system, and the halachic system reflects the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a machaper. That is the machaper, that's the tie. It's a tie in so far as the tzibur is concerned, not so far as the yachid. And it's machaper in the yachid in so far as he's a member of the tzibur. That's why the Rebbe used to always say, when you spalo in Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, the Rebbe says, mispalo as a member of the tzibur. You say, member of the tzibur, a person sees himself as a member of the tzibur, mispalo as a member of the tzibur, his tefillahs can be answered. But he said, Yachid used to say, Yachid can only say tzedek adin. That's it. Yachid can't really, his chances of accomplishing anything for himself are slim. But if he wants to accomplish, that's why all the tefillahs always belush and rabbim, But the tefillahs in Rosh Hashanah, especially because the phenomenon of Gilui Yishchina is only possible for tzibur. It's a tefillah completely tzibur. It's not possible. A person can't say, it's ridiculous. So that's the answer to the Mishneh Shavuos. The Mishneh Shavuos reflects a metaphysical phenomena placed in halachic form. And the tzibur, by recognizing this concept, attains a kapara through the Seir Rosh Chodesh. Okay? And that explains the first question that we raised. That answers the first question we raised. The first question we raised was, what is Rabbi Akiva saying? Ashreichem Yisrael. Mi mitayr eschem. Lefnei mi atem mitayrim. So what does he say? So he says, Avichem Shebashamayim. What does it mean? Shenema, v'zarakti aleichem mayim torah mutahartem mikol tumoseichem and mikol gulochem atareschem. What is the pasuk speaking about? It's speaking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu initiating a kapara for Klal Yisrael. That's what it means. That's what Yecheskel Navi says. V'zarakti aleichem mayim torah mutahartem mikol tumoseichem. That's what Rabbi Akiva was saying. He's saying tshuva ashrechem Yisrael means you're very fortunate, because for you tshuva is not just a natural phenomenon. It's a metaphysical phenomenon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself plays a role in initiating the process. That's what the pasuk says, really. Okay? And then he says, Va'omer, and he says, Mikveh Yisrael Ad Hashem. He says, Ma Mikveh Matas. That's him. By the way, he's dashing the pasuk. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem doesn't mean that God is Mikveh. It means Mikveh Yisrael Hashem means his hope. Hope. The hope of Yisrael is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Rabbi Akiva dashing it also to mean Mikveh. Okay? Because the Torah in the Drash is ayin upon him, so he says, "Ma mikvah mitaris atmeim afa kadosh baruch hu mitaris Yisrael." What is the second one? See, the first one is Hakadosh Baruch Hu initiating a process of tshuva that Kabbashef Agadol Chayreseinu for the tzibur, for the klal, for the whole klal. Okay, that's his galus Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That's what's rachel lechem ayin Torah. It's his galus. But the second one, mikvah Yisrael, mikvah is a private individual act. A person goes into the mikveh. An individual, yachid, can't go to the mikveh b'tzibur, go to the mikveh b'yachid. So b'yachid, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the second pasuk, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also assists the person, initiates, helps him in the process of being a shav. That's mikveh Yisrael Ad Hashem. That's Rabbi Akiva formulated Lifnei Ad Hashem Tetaru. That's the Lifnei Ad Hashem Tetaru. Lifnei Ad Hashem Tetaru takes Yom Kippur out of the natural realm, you see, the psychological natural realm, and places it into, doesn't remove it from that realm, but it places another sphere around it of Lifnei Ad Hashem Tetaru, a metaphysical sphere, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays a role in bringing around and bringing about the tshuva and the kapara. Everybody.
I just wanted to add a little bit to the shiur that we did on last Sunday. This will have to go. You have to put the same thing, same name on it. So the question is, the question that we just alluded to. We don't want to go into it over there. Question is, why is it the pasuk says that the ma'asim nisim must be precisely in accordance with the in proportion, direct proportion to the person's yedias Hashem? That's basically what the pasuk says. The person's yedias Hashem, because yedias Hashem, that's the whole essence of man. It's like Ibn Ezra says that's what man was created for. That's the whole essence of life. Yedias Hashem. The whole system of yadas leads to one thing: yedias Hashem. Okay, and really, all of Yadus is really, you could summarize all of Yadus descriptively. It is really a trail with certain markers that direct the person towards Yadus Hashem. That's really what Yadus does. The whole halachic system, the philosophy and everything, all the systems are subordinated. That's why I said what the word Torah means. And explain this to the Bnei Noach. He's very confused by the word Torah. What does Torah mean? Teaching, learning, Torah. What does Torah mean? And how come it says sometimes it says Toros, sometimes it says Torah? The answer is that the word Torah means a system. Zos Torah Sachatas. Zos HaTorah. Adam Kiyamas. Whenever the word Torah, Torah means a system. That's what it means. It means a system which is logically consistent. You see, an abstract system which is logically consistent. So there are various systems in the Torah, but the system of systems is with the word Torah. When we say the Torah, we mean the system that incorporates all the systems. Okay, but sometimes the term Toros is used because the Torah wants to make reference to the specific system, subsystems. Okay. Why the Torah wants to tell you that he kept every detail of every system, several systems, and he kept it. Of course, the question is, well, what it means by systems by Avraham Avinu? You're going to say he only kept seven mitzvot in there. So the Gemara in Yuma really talks about it. Gemara in Yuma says, that's what Gemara in Yuma says, that Avraham Avinu must have kept Kol HaTorah Kulah, because otherwise he wouldn't have said the Sorosai. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. But anyways, it's all Yedias Hashem, and that's the last pasuk in the Torah of Lakom Navi Ot Kemoshe Asher Yedoa Hashem Panim Al Panim. The Torah doesn't. Why does the Torah tell us about Moshe Rabbeinu's perfection? Because it wants to tell you what the whole objective of Torah is. So the objective of Torah is Yedias Hashem, and there was one person who reached the highest level of man, which we spoke about before, that in the human species, the experiences that certain human beings have, other human beings don't have at all. And this is not found in the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom is all based on instinct. So you can't find animals that are so diverse quantitatively or qualitatively. And more or less, you know, you have a little bigger, a little smaller, but there's a certain range. And the range of the human being, the range is phenomenal. I mean, it's you have one person that's living a life of chachma, another person living totally like a bama. I mean, one person is a chacham and understands the fine points in theory of the universe, and another person has a hard time formulating a sentence. The same species, okay? But that's because man has a something which is a tzelem alakim, and the tzelem alakim is used to very his physical body. You won't find such a range. But insofar as his participation in Tzelem Elokim, there you find a tremendous range. And what Yadis tells us, one of the Yisrael Yadas, is that there was one person who reached the ultimate level of man, Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was qualitatively differentiated in every respect insofar as his experiences of life are concerned. He had a completely different, he saw everything differently. Everything was completely different. His whole view of life, his whole... There's nothing in common between his experiences and our experiences. Why? Because his experiences, when a person experiences anything, it's always through the medium of the mind. It has to go through that medium. And that's why a person who is a greater chacham has a different kind of a life. His experiences are all different, completely different. No shaykhs. Like the Rambam says in the Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says very nicely over there about the avoyim that I mentioned. I read that Rambam over there Sunday. That the tipshim that think that the havle azman, and then he says aval chachamim yedu be'emes. What is Rambam telling you? Rambam's telling you that the experiences of the chacham are qualitatively differentiated. You can't compare. His whole life is different. That's why it's a different life. The whole life is different. You can't compare these experiences. That's why the hamonon that thinks that they're they think that their salvation will come from wealth and fame. You see, it's there the chacham that sees them. I mean, really pities them because he knows what these experiences are and how frustrating and what kind of a life they lead—an empty, frustrating, unhappy existence. And he has something which is like unbelievable. It's like if a person could have the greatest form of entertainment at his disposal. So easily, readily, where he could experience the greatest pleasure and enjoyment, you see, and the other person will never get that. I mean, he can be in the most beautiful palace, but he's not even approaching near the experience of the Chacham. The Chacham sitting, the way the Rambam describes, sitting on the side of a broken down wall, is in a state of, is an ecstatic state. He experiences the whole Bria differently. I mean, it's a different, no matter how much that palace, I mean, no matter how beautiful it is, I mean, even the first moment that the person sees it, it's exciting, but even then, even that moment doesn't reach this kind of excitement, because it's a different kind of excitement. A different kind of excitement. Excitement where the mind is engaged in reality, the perception of reality. The other excitement is that excitement has conflict, because there's always, every emotional enjoyment, there's always conflict, because you have one emotion this way, then you have the other emotions that draw the other way, and the person is unfortunate. He's trapped in his life. I mean, he can't escape. He's stuck there. Whereas the chacham is really the free person that has a different kind of experiences. So when the Rambam says that Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu was different, it doesn't just mean his Nevuah is different. You see, of course, the Rambam says it's incomparable. But his whole life is his whole everything he experiences is different. Completely different. Right? And it's like you have two people are sitting down to eat, and one person is trying desperately to gain some pleasure out of the food, a little pleasure, frustrating day, he's waiting to have a little pleasure out of food to compensate for his pain, and the other person is in a different world. I mean, his mind is just transcending different areas of theoretical areas. I mean, he doesn't even know he's eating, you see. So they different experiences. You can't compare. Two people are sitting at the same table, worlds apart in terms of the experiential. That's really what Yadis maintains, that the experiences of the Chacham are not to be achieved and not to be attained by the average person. And it's something which, you know, this is something which I would say that a person should really, sometimes humility is no good. You know what I mean? A person, like in the yeshiva, we always emphasize that the person shouldn't become a Balgaiva because he has more knowledge. But in one area, he could be a Balgaiva. And that is in the area of recognition that he has something that nobody else has. That's not Gaiva, it's true. That he has something available to him that no other person, other people just don't have it. The experience of Torah. And a person should realize that and realize how important and how much it is, how important it is in terms of his quality of life and his enjoyment of life. Shouldn't be an honor in that area. Should recognize you have a great gift. I mean, it's an unbelievable thing. And it's like Rabbi Kurlander, you know, I have a relative that he was very close with. So he asked me about him one time. I was doing this. He said, you know, he's older, he's bored. So he said very nicely, he says he wasn't zeicha to have learning. He said, he wasn't zeicha to become a lamed and have learning. So Kurlander is an old man, but he's... His mind is young. He's working. He works on a sugi. He knows and he appreciates. He says, like, without this, like, what would he have in his old age? Nothing. I mean, that's why old age is so frightening to the average person, because it's complete deterioration of everything that he has to make his life redeemable. Because life at best is very painful, not because of the outside struggles like people think. They're projecting onto the outside. Think because they don't have enough money. They don't do this. That's not the reason. The reason why it's difficult is because of the internal struggle. Internal struggle, and there's no escape. So what does a person look for? A little physical pleasure. So he gets it doesn't work out, it works out, he has it, he enjoys it, he feels guilty, the whole system doesn't work. It's gatenish. But he tries. What happens is, if he doesn't do this, then he gets into total depression and he wants to kill himself. I mean, that's what happens. So certain chachamim said that's the best advice. They recommended it. Or Schopenhauer. Schopenhauer. I'm talking to the philosopher. Chachmei Masolam. Excuse me. I'll take it out of context. That's why I said this tape doesn't go. But a person that can escape into chachma. See, also we always tie certain phrases with certain value judgments, which is not right. Because people say, you know, you shouldn't escape. No, if you can escape, it's wonderful. Escape, you know. What person would want to stay in jail if he could escape? No, I mustn't escape. You can escape, a person can escape from the painful life of the emotions into a different world where these problems don't exist. Einstein used to say, why does it attract the physicists? Because he couldn't take the pain of everyday life. Nothing works out. This doesn't work. Forget it. In the physics, everything works out of there. Physics. So, Chachmas Hashem is a different kind of a life. A person has to appreciate that. I mean, I think that that's very important, that a person should not underrate the value. See, Gaivez, he overrates his own ego. Then he's just involved in the same world of emotions as the other guy. Except he's using Torah, somebody else is using his new car. I mean, his bank book, whatever it is. Then he's in the same, that's unfortunate. But to appreciate what you have and to recognize that you have something at your disposal which can make you happier in an incomparable sense than the person who has the millions of dollars, whatever, covered olam, covered malchus. He can't sit down for 1 minute and have this experience and relax and escape from the tensions. Cannot. I don't care what it is. Even if it's a high, it's a tense high. The tension high. It's a different kind of a high. You know what I mean? And then the low, and then the high. Of course, once he's high, then he has to get low. His low is painful. It's impossible. It's a torturous existence. A person that has chachma, most fortunate person in the world. You have to appreciate it. If you don't appreciate it, that's part of that. To my mind, that's why the Rambam has in Hilchos Teshuvah. The Rambam talks about the Talmud Limud HaTorah in the end, Limud HaTorah and the Torah Lashma and the whole thing. Because the person has to appreciate what he has. If he doesn't appreciate it, then he can't. He can't be a shav al Hashem if he doesn't understand or he doesn't appreciate what he has in May Hashem. I mean, you understand? It's important. It's really important. The person should realize his superiority, not in a gaivadic way, but in a realistic way. As he has, something that will hurt. So, and the greater the chacham, the that's different experiences. You know, Ram says, different levels, Everybody's at a different level. But, but at any rate, the big difference is between the Talmud Chacham and the Amoraites. That's the major difference. That's why Chazal say, the famous Chazal, I always quote him many times, that the Talmidei Chachamim kishehim maskinim is daitam yusheves aleihem, and Amoraites kishehim maskinim is daitam meterefes aleihem. Because the Amoraites, as he gets older, he gets more frightened. He sees everything he has is leaving him. The same, the emotional problems didn't get better. The outlets are getting less. So and he realizes where he's going, and basically going to die soon. So that's it. I mean, it's meterefes. And there is a depression of old age, Middle age is a middle age crisis, you see. They call it a crisis because then he fools himself again. And in old age, he's back again in depression. See? But the Talmidei Chachamim is on the contrary, because the older he gets, if he spent his life in Chachma, what happens is that all the Chachma, somehow or other, God created man in a way that the mind always remains. The mind does not get weaker. It's an amazing thing. The mind does not get weaker. And you'll see that among Chachamim, that they're always in their fields of Chachma, no matter how old, they're always at the top. I mean, they're always consultants. I mean, Einstein was in the 70s. He may not have been able to make the breakthroughs. I don't know why. That's a question. Why breakthroughs are made using youth? I mean, that must be true. Yeah. They say finished by 40 in science. They say finished by 40. But he kept on producing. You know, it's a funny thing. They say about Reb Chaim that it wasn't that way. So Reb Chaim kept on making breakthroughs. Reb Chaim all his life. I think it might have to do with different kind of a different subject matter. Because the mind doesn't seem to get weaker. I mean, Reb Moshe, I saw Reb Moshe when he must have been about 91, 92. I asked him a question. Still paskening shaylos. I mean, the Rav and until he came ill. I mean, the Rav was unbelievable. In physics, all. But even the guys in physics, they're still at the top of their fields. They're still, they're still consultants. I mean, people consult them. And Feynman. I don't even pronounce his name. Richard Feynman. They called him in to solve the problem with the shovel.
That's right. In 1992, he was the one who figured it out.
No, it was earlier.
91
No, I don't know what's going on. It was in the 80s.
He died in 91, I'm sorry.
The thing is, the research they can't do, though, in Torah, you don't have a book.
Right.
And you really get to do research, and sometimes it's ailing.
And from a practical standpoint also, I mean, I have old relatives that I visited recently, and it's an amazing thing. These people are in their 80s, and you can see that they are, they're just as sharp as they were 20, 30 years ago. I mean, they haven't been intelligent people. They're not learned people. They're not involved in learning. But they're intelligent. The minds are the same. I mean, I see they're still, it's amazing. Physically, they're completely decrepit. But mentally, they're just the same as they were 20, 30 years ago. And I remember them when I was younger. And, but unfortunately, I spoke to their son just last night. They said that the quality of the life is mediocre. He said, mediocre, it's been reduced. But why is it mediocre? Truth of the matter is, I mean, a person's life is unless he's a marathon runner, he's an Olympic Olympic competition. I mean, they never did anything extraordinary. Anyway, I mean, so I walked down the block. Okay, so now it takes a little longer. I mean, the problem is they have nothing to do. See, nothing to do, and nobody comes anymore because nobody's interested in them. Because what are you going to talk to them for? All their emotions are tied to past to the 40s, the 50s, whatever past their life. So emotionally, there's no contact. So why should anybody want to speak with them? So they come to a favor to say hello, talk to them over, can't wait to get out, So they says nothing. But if they were chachamim, chachamim don't have such a situation. Chachamim, just the opposite. People flock to them. That's all you do in the Seva. So I have to close the doors, get rid of my people. So the person who is the mind is God created the human being in such a way that not only his soul is different, but even his physical body is built and constructed in such a way that that element which works together with the soul in this existence, that element lasts the longest. Lasts the longest. Very seldom is it affected. I mean, there are certain diseases, but on the whole, generally, you have to look at, like Ram says in philosophy, you must look at the general picture. You can't look at individual cases. General picture is the mind doesn't deteriorate. And if these people had something to think about, they wouldn't be, first of all, they wouldn't be lonely because they'd have something to do, number one, because there's not too many things a person can do, especially if a person gets older. So they'd have something to do. And also, they would have, socially, they wouldn't be isolated because people would have something to talk with them. I mean, just talking about practical, social, psychological health. And Chacham, no matter how great he is, he's also a psychological phenomenon. As the Rambam of Vilchem says, a person needs friends, he needs relatives, even a Chacham needs a certain psychological framework. So these people, you know, unfortunately, get older, the whole everything collapses. And then, their life totally deteriorates. And there's no necessity for it. If they were Chacham, they wouldn't deteriorate one iota. Wouldn't deteriorate at all. I mean, I remember Rav Natan Lovitch Zichron Lavracha. He was in his 80s. He used to come to my house all the time. And he was enjoying it. There's no difference in his 80s and 20s. Okay, it took him a little longer to get home. So I used to walk with him, you know. So I used to get up from the table and slowly, like this, you know. Get up and start to walk like this. And then we'd walk on the side of the hall with him. And then we'd walk down the hall. He was going like this. He got into the stride. So that was the only difference. But we sat around. We discussed the Torah ideas and learning, and even philosophy. You know, philosophy. Plato, discussed Plato, Freud. You know, I mean, you knew all the philosophers. This is a man that he kind of could sit down. You'd have the people around would flock around him. So Chacham's life is different. It's superior. Not only in terms of the internal life. I mean. But in terms of practical psychological life, doesn't deteriorate. That is, even though that's not as important as the other element, is the learning itself. But I can tell you, it has a greater pull emotionally.
Because
the point I made was that the question is why the Navi, like Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yedias Hashem is tied to the Osas and Mofsim. Or reverse, the Osas and Mofsim is tied to the Yedias Hashem, the opposite. I'm sorry. One answer I gave in the shiur I started to talk about was that a Navi doesn't just do things, but a Navi has to understand what he's doing, and that's the whole thing with Yonah. That's why Yonah ran away, because he couldn't, and the Navi didn't make sense to him. Couldn't accept it. Okay, and the same thing over here with Osas and Mofsim, which stems from Midas as Galus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Navi has to have that kind of a yediyah of his galus. Okay, he has to have that yediyah of his galus. If he doesn't have the yediyah of his galus, he can't be involved in his galus. Nevuah is not just a perfunctory act. It's an act which has to stem from the yediyah of the Navi. So it means to say that Moshe Rabbeinu understood Maimed Har Sinai metaphysically. He understood how Maimed Har Sinai stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? He understood the relationship. It was Yedias Hashem. It wasn't just for the average person. It was just some miraculous event which convinced them that God exists. That more than that God exists, I mean, actually God gave the Torah and Brisovos and the whole system of Yadis. But but for Moshe Rabbeinu, it meant that it couldn't have taken place unless, and that's why it was really the Nevuah, like the Rambam says, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So means to say that Moshe Rabbeinu had a idea of how this phenomenon stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, based upon Yedias Hashem, and a lower Navi could never wouldn't have that knowledge, and he couldn't bring about. You see, he couldn't bring it about, play a role in bringing it about. Okay, but according to the Rambam and the Ibn Ezra also, I think one of them, And the Nisim Shanasa Al Yedei Moshe Rabbeinu. It means that the Navi brings it, excuse me? Yeah, then he brings it in. Monodatulam, yeah. So we spoke about that. But there's another thing, something else, which is a side thing, which I think is also true. And that is with regard to the fact that the Sajigayim mentions it. Sajigayim mentions, he says, why is it the Nevi'im are unprotected? The Nevi'im are basically unprotected. I mean, God gave them a shlichus. Sounds like it's almost unfair. He gave them a shlichus, go do this, go in front of this king and tell him the Dvar Hashem, and hopefully you'll make it out alive. I mean, and you see the Nevi'im had to hide, Eliyahu, and the Yeshayahu was killed by Menashe, and Yirmiyahu was oppressed, and in the end, I think Yirmiyahu was killed also. I don't remember. Yirmiyahu was killed. Yeah. So Sajigayim says, why is it that the Nevi'im didn't deserve divine protection? After all, I mean, we have a childish idea of a Navi. A Navi really put his life in his hand. I mean, he wasn't a miraculous person. He put his life in his hand. He had to go through these things. He's frightened. He's scared. What does Shmuel say? V'shamar shavar aguni. You'll kill me. So a Nevuah is, we always look at Nevuah and Nevi'im in a surreal kind of a framework, mental framework. It's not real. But you have to, the truth of the matter is that it's in childhood, you taught that way. But the Navi, you have to understand, if somebody, why is it Allah of Kovesh Nevuaso? What do you mean Kovesh Nevuaso? If he's a Navi, why is he Kovesh? The answer is there are many considerations. Navi has his own set of problems. And sometimes he wants to be Kovesh Nevuaso. It's too much. He can't. He's confronted with the challenges that are immense. But we don't know what, our problems are different than his. But you have to understand, he has problems based upon his demand that he speak out his Nevuah and simply his own existence and how to do it. It's complicated. He has to think. He reach these people, what he's going to say. It has to be all planned out. It's all has to be worked out politically with Chachma, every step. So Sajigayim says, why is it that the Navi wasn't protected by God? Sajigayim gives an interesting answer. He says the reason is because if the Navi had some kind of protection, everybody would think the Nisim come from him, that he has power. An ingenious answer. You see, and he says that's why God could never give him the any protection. He was a mortal man, just like anybody else, and he was subject to all the frailties of a normal human being. So what I wanted to say was, I wanted to add a little bit to that. I want to say like this, that the that you'll notice that the Nevi'im never instilled in people a sense that they are special. They never instilled in people that. And you have, what do you see, the Isha Ashunamis, she said to her husband, who is this Isha Lakim over Elenu Tomid? Nasalo Aliyas Kirkatana, we'll fix up something in the attic there. The Nasim Sham Shulchan Amita Menorah, put a little, what does that show you? What does that story show you? That story shows you that apparently the rest of the world didn't recognize him. They have to give him a little place in the attic over there with a little bed and a table by this old woman and her husband. So obviously, he wasn't, yeah, exactly. You see? So you see, the Navi really never enjoyed great fame. And he wasn't considered a special person, like Sajigayim said. That's what Kachava.
Some of them get
small
like that.
But that's different. That's not because anyone thought magical about it. It was because of his position, and he had a hard time. In the end, they said, they didn't get us a king, get us a melech. They didn't want him. So, lo, bochomosu, kimosi. Yeah, you see, if you read through the Navi without projecting any kind of supernatural, surrealistic attitude, you'll see that the Navi was a plain person. What I want to say is like this. What I want to say is that Mida, that the reason why they weren't viewed that way, has to do with the Navi's perfection himself. In other words, like this. Any person that has energy directed towards their ego, and a nace would happen through them, their personality would be affected. Here it's not Kovesh Yitzro is not going to work. You see, here's where you need a tzaddik that's natural. In my opinion, Kovesh Yitzro, even though it's a very high level, But Tovah Shesitra is not capable of doing certain things. And he cannot really be in the area of the Navi. He has to be because he's going to be affected emotionally. And it could be he's a great person. He thinks to himself, look, this is my own egomania. My own gaiva is getting affected. But it doesn't matter. If emotionally he's affected, he's going to transfer that to... He's going to experience himself, and his followers are going to experience it also. He's going to transfer it to his followers. And they're going to look at him like a special mystical power, which really takes away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Kol Shamayim, you see? So what I want to say is like this, that the Navi really is a person who is so perfected. You see, he has to be so perfected that the nisim that he accomplishes don't affect him in any way, his personality in any way, that he should cause such a calamity among the people that he's trying to after all, to reach the people that they should see Kvod Shemayim. Okay, so he has to be on that level. So so what I want to say is like this, that's why a certain they cannot really perform. That's one of the reasons that they cannot perform nisim like Moshe Rabbeinu was able to perform. Because in Moshe Rabbeinu, his personality was completely unaffected. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was Ish Moshe Anav Miyod made Kol Ha'ad Mashal Pnei Adama, completely unaffected. And therefore, since he was unaffected, it never translated into a situation that it affected others. And you see in the Torah, no one ever looked at Moshe Rabbeinu like a magical person. I mean, you see, honestly, where are you taking us? We ain't from the Mitzrayim, the Kachton Lomos Bamidbar. I mean, we're very quick. The reason is, and that's without any Nisan. That's with purported Nisan. So could you imagine if, the point I'm making is that Moshe Rabbeinu was that it requires a certain kind of a personality that the person himself who was involved should be unaffected, and therefore it doesn't transfer this kind of an aura to his followers. You see, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that no matter how great the nisim, like the Rambam says, that he really basically he had nature at his feet. He walked in front of Paro, in front of those who were his adversaries, his friends. Well, no matter what the situation, he always was able to perform whatever was necessary. Whereas the other Nevi'im were limited. They were limited. See? Certain conditions, not in front of everybody, weren't able to do that, The reason is because no one was on that level, that they completely unaffected or required the anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu, which requires... I show you door Hashem ponim al ponim. You see, that requires that level of idea. That's the point. What is that level? I'll tell you what the level is. I think I have a raya from Tanakh. Really, the level is. Mesh before. We'll come back to it. Yeah. Another point that I mentioned in the show, I don't want to go into too much, but I think it's something that should be analyzed a little deeper. The main concept was that the Tkiyas Shofar is really a matir for being mispal for his galus. Then I mentioned that. And it is amazing how the matir, of course, is the matir. You have two matirim, really. We explained, you have a matir that you're asking God for his galus because you want to be able to do the mitzvah, so that's if you're in Kabbana, so you have right there his galus. That's why I said, Sechzeno einenu b'shuv cholotzien barachanan. Why is that? That's because we'd say it. Hashem lakinim. Hashem was avodah. They're talking about avodah. You have a right to say Sechzeno einenu. Otherwise, you can't ask. There's only one other matir. And the matir is Tkiyas Shofar. So in Tkiyas Shofar, you see, we say the shofar that God blows is Yitaka b'shofar gadol. Hashem lakinim b'shofar yiska. It means that That's why I explained it. There's a metaphysical concept here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself causes, is Ma'orer Tshuva. Just like he creates a Sinai in order to move man towards the truth, he also creates a situation to bring a person back to the true derechaim, and especially on the tzibor. Especially as you look at those psukim, most of them refer to the to Klal Yisrael, not to the Yachad so much, Klal Yisrael. Okay, but you see, so you see like this. That the tkiyas shofar, the Kadosh Baruch Hu's tkiyas shofar, is a tkiyas shofar which awakens a person from his sleep, and it places him in the area in the world of Chachma. So it's amazing, though. So how we mispar for that? We mispar for that in a way because, like I said, praying for his galus is a very primitive thing. It tracks the primitive nature of man. You see the whole world, the goyim, the pagans, the Christians. I mean, Christians are basically pagans. So the way they're attracted to this, they look at the Navi, they grab onto it, get very excited, you know, about all these things. It's a primitive kind of a thing. But you see how Yadus carefully avoided this. How? By one method. It said that it even removed speech from the tefillah. You see what it do? It says you could pray for this through a maisa, through an action of tkiyas shofar, which reflects in your mind, you see, the ultimate tkiyas shofar. It's very subtle. The way Yadis formulated this, to avoid the primitive, it's formulated in a way that you're not even directly being mispoel. So you're just blowing your shofar, tkiyas shofar. That's a tefillah. That's why over here you have a tefillah through an action. It's the only case you have such a thing. You can't have a tefillah through an action. Tefillah requires dibur, you see? But over here there's an exception, that the dibur is expressed in a maisat tkiyas shofar. What is the tefillah, by the way? What is the tefillah? The tefillah is tkabah shofar god l'chayresenu. That's the tefillah. That's what the tefillah is. So what are you saying? Ki atah shomea kol shofar mazin trul. What are you saying? Shomea kol shofar means that you listen to tkabah shofar. So your tefillah for the geula is really reduced to an instrument, mechanical sounds from an instrument. You see? Why? Precisely because of that reason. That the person in being mispala for the geula, unless he has the right ideas, he recognizes what the purpose of the geula is, what it is, he just throw all his emotions onto that and his fantasies, and he thinks that the geula is going to satisfy all his fantasy emotions. That's exactly the corruption of the whole idea. That's the wrong idea. That's the wrongness of the people that are involved constantly figuring out the case. That's what's driving them. What's driving them is not perfection. What's driving them is fantasies, and they think the case is going to hold for them all the satisfaction of all their fantasies. You see, this is bad. As the Rambam says, anyone's Isaac in that, it doesn't help them. Any maybe a little the year away the Abba, it's worthless. Well, a waste of time. So Yadus carefully, it's beautiful when you think about how Yadus carefully avoided it by setting up the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar. It's an amazing thing. Of course, you can't. Once the institution is set up, then you can verbalize it also. But when you verbalize it, you must always say the shofar. That's why I say every day, tkab shofar gadol l'chayresenu. You see, once you have the institution, then you're allowed to say tkab shofar. But it must always, you always must mention the shofar. You see? But the Maisa Mitzvah Rosh Hashanah is formulated precisely to show a person that he shouldn't be lost in the primitive, that he should really recognize what it means. What does Gula really mean? What's the purpose of Gula? What's the value, the ideas behind the Gula? And that's why in Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of Malchus, which has a Kedushas Hayom of Malchus, Afrenus, and Sherfres, the attributes of Kadosh Baruch Hu, you see, so on that day you have to avoid. The person has to recognize that in the mitzvah tkiyas shofar is a recognition of the problem of being mispalel for the gula, and the only solution is the shofar. The maisa mitzvah of shofar is a matir, and the knowledge of the maisa mitzvah of shofar is a matir. And once you have that matir, then you can say elakeinu elakevusin at the kabe shofar god l'chayresenu, and the sakabo the kiyata shemei kol shofar mazin trua. And I wanted to add one thing. You see, I wanted to add one thing. What does the tefillah say? The tefillah says, "Kiyata shomea kol shofar, umazin trua." That's all. What do you have to go further? Why do you have to go further? What does it say? "Kiyata shomea kol shofar, umazin trua, the ein damalach." What do you mean, ein damalach? Well, you always say ein damalach. Neged Malach. So what is it? What was Vein Dal? Why over here do you say Vein Dal Malach? Because Yadus recognizes that precisely in the area of Geula, there's a danger of anthropomorphic projections. You see? And that's why the Goyim are attracted to this. Because they really believe in a physical God. That's what he's saying in the beginning of the Slichas. They bow down to a dead man. So their whole religion is anthropomorphic. The whole religion is Avodah Zarah. So that's why precisely in Geula, where those fantasies, the fantasies, I want you to understand, are a twofold corruption. They're an ethical corruption as far as the person is concerned, because to him Geula means satisfying his fantasies. But at the same time, and it always is that way, it's a corruption of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if that's what God is, then God becomes reduced to an anthropomorphic idea. You see, it's impossible. That's why I mentioned by Chava. The moment the person's a chote, his idea of God is reduced. Okay, that's why Vayishmos Kol Hashem Elokim Nisalach Bagon LeRuach Hayom was because the idea of Hashem was reduced. So it had kind of an anthropomorphic contamination. You see. That's why in Geula, beautiful, you see that the kol shofar is to remove a person from the primitive, and that's why they say, Kiata Shemei kol shofar mazin chua, Ein Damalach. Ein Damalach. What does Ein Damalach mean? That's what the Navi says. El Misa Damyun. El Misa. Ein Damalach. What does Ein Damalach mean? That's what the Navi says. El Misa Damyun. El Misa. El Misa. God's. That's the basic idea of Yadus, that there's no comparison whatsoever. So don't think that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokim B'Shofar Yizkor, V'Olach B'Saros, Tamon, should not be an anthropomorphic idea to you. It's a marshal. It's a marshal. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu Shofar, Mazrev Ein Domalach, because the mitzvah Shofar was set up precisely to avoid this kind of a problem.
No,
you see? There's no words. Can't even ask for it. It's just a miser, which reflects. The miser reflects the ultimate kiyas shofar. That's the way it's formulated. Beautiful formula. It's an unbelievable. Unbelievable. And by the way, I want to thank Danny Wolf. He brought that to my attention. The Ein Domalach in the tefillah. I appreciate it. It fits in very nicely with the theme that we were saying. There's Ein Domalach is bedafka over here, not anywhere else. Yeah. Mendy mentions. Also, I mean, Ashrei Ha'om, it's true, it's right. Ashrei Ha'om Yodei Serua. Hashem Bor Panecha Yalechon, that's precisely what it means. Ashrei Ha'om Yodei Serua. What does it mean, Yodei Serua? Ashrei Ha'om Tokei Serua. What's Yodei Serua? Tokei Serua. What's the answer? It means that without this Yediyah of what the Trua is, without that Yediyah, it can't be at Hashem Bor Panecha Yalechon. That's impossible. So the mitzvah shofar is tied really with the yediyah. Without the yediyah, it could be totally misconstrued, and that's why that's why it's formulated very carefully. Yeah, but what I want to tell you that you see, for instance, somebody asked me a question like this: Riva Rivenu, Reiv on Yinav Riva Rivenu, Galed Galosh Me'ayin Lamat Shemecha. That's not a tefillah essentially for the geula. What you're asking for now is Re'evon Yinu V'Riva Veinu means to help us from our oppressors. But of course, once you mention that, so now it's Gora, the concept of the ultimate Gula. But it's not a tefillah intrinsically for Gula. The tefillah intrinsically, and the proof is that's in the beginning. Because those tefillahs that have to do with the Gula are at the end. Kabbashel, Fereshlaim, Yichor. The ones in the beginning are all personal. That's before Refainu. So it's a personal thing. But once you mention that, we have a Klal Yadis. So once you mention certain things, you can't stop there. You see, you can't stop there because it would be like you're denying the fact that God is going to can do more than this. Yeah. You know, as we stop there, you're saying this is all God can do. There's a limitation. You're not allowed to do that. So that's why after say you go chazgun go so. Okay, you can't take half of the thing. You got to go through the whole thing. Otherwise, it will imply limitation. And me yamal gurus hashem shmiya kol tilasa. Can't stop in the middle. That's a separate law. But with regard to the question she asked me is with regard to Malchius. With regard to Malchius. What is the halacha? And then the whole thing over there. That's Gilu Shechina. That's Gilu Shechina, right? Okay. So how do you have Alkena Kavala Khadashem Alkin Liros Meris versus Echo? Right? Chovani Vasikur Shmecha, Lafna Silaka Kol Rishi Eretz. Two categories, Bnei Basar and Rishi Eretz. Okay. That's precise. Because one of the Bnei Basar are the people involved in the enjoyments of the Id, you know, the physical Id. That's Bnei Basar. But the Rishi Eretz are the ones with the Ido. Okay. Two components there. But anyways, see, over there, you have to understand something. In Malchius, certain themes demand, again, they demand that they incorporate other themes in them. Otherwise, you can't, when you touch on something, you touch on one theme, you automatically are tied to another theme. You can't stop, but that doesn't mean that second theme is essential. See, in Malchius HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Malchius, that's why we want to, I really spoke about this once, the difference between Malchius and why Rosh Hashanah eclipses Rosh Chodesh. You say, why you don't say the Pesukim? It's interesting. You don't say that. This happens to be a beautiful halachic formulation. The Rabbein Tam. So Rabbein Tam says you don't say the Pesukim of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because what is Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. What does Malchus mean? Malchus means that everyone recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Yotzer Olam. V'yeda kol pol ki ata fi'alta v'yavon kol yotzer k'toyitzato. So it means Malchus. In Malchus you have to have subjects. It means that we recognize v'yitnu l'cha kesem malocha. Okay, that's Malchus. Malchus without subjects is no malach. Okay, so Malchus and Rosh Hashanah means that we recognize God, that He's the source of all existence, of creation, of everything. So the problem is Rosh Chodesh is the Yom Tov, like the Rav said. Rosh Chodesh is Yom Tov of recognizing Kadosh Baruch Hu as a Borei Olam, and we said it also, I believe, when we defined the Bracha Hashem Mamar Baruch Chokum Ruch Piv Kol Tzvam Chogaz Man Nasalam. When we learned that too, yeah, it was a long time ago. It's obvious it's not the Areach, it's the whole all Tzvah Shemayim, everything, the universe, basically. That's the Yom Tov Rosh Chodesh is expressed in the Bracha on the Kiddush Levana. So the problem is like this, though, that Rosh Chodesh is in objective terms, you see, and let's put it straight. If I say that God is the creator of the universe, that's a fact. If I say man recognizes that God is the creator of the universe, that is a subjective fact. Subjective means that there's a subject. I don't mean subjective. It means there are subjects that recognize this fact. So it incorporates the original fact, and it actually places that fact in a certain dimension, in a relationship to man. So that's really the problem that Yahadus had with there's a conflict in a sense between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because if you just state the fact, you're excluding the recognition. So Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh plus, includes that there is Rosh Chodesh plus. So how did Yahadus resolve it? So it says, Ezel Bakesa Liyom Chageno. That means it's like this. You can't take away the Rosh Chodesh. So someone says, do away with Rosh Chodesh. No, because do away with Rosh Chodesh, then you'd be saying it's not a fact. You understand what I mean? The conflict is not a direct conflict in terms of like a contradiction. The conflict is by way of implication. You see? So the Rosh Chodesh is not enough. So that's why Rosh Chodesh is taken out of the foreground. This is a beautiful way, the way it's resolved. Rosh Chodesh is taken out of the foreground, but it still exists. But the emphasis, the focus, the spotlight is on Rosh Hashanah. That's why you have the Psukkim of Rosh Hashanah, but you don't say the Psukkim of Rosh Chodesh. This is Mavada Chodesh, that's it. But you don't say Mavad al Tzchash. But you don't say Rosh Hashanah Takriv al Hashem like you say another Yom Tov. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says, this basically. That's what Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a deraisa. It's a kiyum deraisa, really. It's a kiyum deraisa. Because Neshama Pons was saying it's deraisa, and the way you express it is an expression of the Kedushas Hayyim of Kabanas. So therefore, what I wanted to say is like this: that with regard to it's true that there is Geula. Is Geula HaAsida is mentioned as a component of Malchius, But the emphasis on the Malchus, you see, that's where the emphasis is on. The emphasis is not on, is not, it's just like Rosh Chodesh is a component of Rosh Hashanah. You see? Has to be that way. The Altina Kavcha, that's why it sounds similar. As a matter of fact, the Nusach is, you use the same kind of Nusach. The Altina Kavcha, Rosh Hashanah, Liros, Meir, Elisifer, same thing as Ahatom, Iglesavanan, Kvadocho. They use the same thing because it's Gilish Shechina. But the only thing is that the Gilish Shechina and Malchus is subordinated to the institution of Malchus. It's not direct Gilui Shechina, because without the when you're speaking about Malchus Kadosh Baruch Hu, so you must reflect the ultimate situation where so naturally is Gula. But it's not that we're being mispower for Gula. It's the theme of Malchus includes another concept. Okay, so that's what I wanted to add that it's not a contradiction. Sometimes you mispower for something, but you have to look at the major framework. A major framework might demand a component. That's a different kind of a tefillah than a direct tefillah where you're being mispalel for this thing itself. You see? That's it. The direct tefillah for Gula itself, that direct tefillah, that's a dangerous one. See, that's where Yadis recognized the danger and instituted the Tekiah Shofar. But the tefillah that's incorporated in the Malchus, that's on the contrary. I mean, even from a psychological standpoint, you can see that it's not dangerous, because the emphasis is Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not your personal gula. But when you be mispalled directly for your personal gula, that's a little dangerous. And that's why it has to be with the Kol Shofar. The Kol Shofar, the concept of Shofar, is a matir. And that's why you say every day in the tefillah, say Tekabesh Shofar L'Chayr Seinu. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. What would I mention Shofar every day for? There's no Shofar every day. Just say Galay Kavod Malchus Kol Leinu Karpus Meir Minagam, like the tefillah in the Musaf. It's perfect. The tefillah is very nice to look. Okay.